and then you're going to hit spacebar once you pop the computer up to play the open, okay? So encode, start, turn the computer on.
Elliot's or any of its partners. Perfect. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Paul Perillo.
My name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in progress. My name is Mr. Liff, I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me, let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something, oh wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain, contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. My name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, the show is
PFW in progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
Progress is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Gillette Stadium. Boy, that's habit for you. We are live from the team hotel in Arizona. And things are going pretty smoothly here, I would think, for the Patriots. You might have read this morning about more fire alarms here at the hotel. Don't worry about any of that. It's a very, very, very big hotel, very spread out. And if there was an alarm this morning, it wasn't where the players are. So, you know, don't worry that the Seahawks are here playing tricks on the Patriots. Things are going smoothly for your team. And we're looking forward to Sunday, obviously. Patriots had full access today. It's the last day of full access. All the coaches and players. Tomorrow, the Patriots will be off as far as media access. Bill Belichick, however, will be down in Phoenix at the NFL headquarters, and he'll do a full press conference along with Pete Carroll. That's the one where, you know, the two coaches awkwardly stand there with the Lombardi trophy, and Pete, and, you know, Bill Belichick will refuse to touch the trophy because it's bad luck, and Pete will probably fondle it like a little baby. But so that'll happen tomorrow, along with the commissioner's address, which will be very interesting for a number of reasons, none the least of which is Deflategate. But there's a lot of other things that he needs to talk about league-wise, you know, the whole Ray Rice thing this year, and the rumors about St. Louis moving to L.A. So lots of stuff to talk about at the commissioner's thing. And we're hoping to have that live on Patriots.com. We're not sure if we're going to be able to, but we're efforting that as I speak. And as I continue to speak, Paul and Andy finally decided to show up, which is nice. I appreciate that. What's up, guys?
Well, we were doing an exclusive interview with Tom Brady.
Oh, is that right? Is
no,
that
not
true
really.
Or no?
No, I was eating.
Okay. We had a big debate today, not a debate, but a discussion of how the word exclusive has changed when it comes to the media these days.
That it really means one-on-one.
Right. Everyone's claiming to have exclusive interviews with Tom Brady, which, of course, can't be true. Exclusive is only.
Correct.
And if others have one-on-ones with Tom Brady, yours is not exclusive.
That is absolutely
But their
correct.
Claims are being made throughout the media. That's fine. We don't care. We really don't.
No, we don't.
We don't.
Except I just wasted a minute talking about it.
Yep.
What time is that Commissioner Goodell press conference? Do you have that
I
time?
I think it's like maybe 8 o'clock local, or no, 10 o'clock local and noon Eastern. I'm not sure.
What time are the coaches?
Yeah, I think they might be earlier.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think they might.
8:30, I think.
8:30 and 10 maybe?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, for Commissioner, 8:30, 9, 10 or something.
Right.
Sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that, but that's tomorrow. But today we're talking about Patriots access this morning. And guys, I think things are going pretty smoothly. What do you think?
I think everything is going quite smoothly, despite the reports of fire alarms and disruptions.
Yeah, I said don't worry about that if you're a Patriots fan.
None of the players know anything about it.
Right.
And they don't. They don't. It's amazing how many different guys said, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's one of those things where we're refusing to acknowledge something, you know.
No, like, no, no, I
like
don't
think
so.
It's 98 degrees in Miami. We're what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if it's one of those that they're just out of sight, out of mind.
I know for certain.
But I really don't think they've been affected.
Right, and I didn't. I haven't heard any since we've been here, and there's been multiple. And I know there are a significant amount of players in my area. And as we've talked about, this hotel has wings and hallways, and so I think it really is only affecting certain areas.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe it's only affecting wherever NFL Network is staying.
Wow, that could be. Maybe now you're on.
Maybe we don't like NFL Network, and we're not letting them sleep.
And all for good reason. What else? Bill?
Brady, a little bit healthier.
Yeah.
Still dealing with something, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
But he enjoyed running around, he said yesterday. And, Bill, did you read the pool report where Bill just said he took all his normal reps or something?
Right.
Like, he won't even acknowledge it. And he kills. Still saying he's going to be 100% on Sunday.
Yeah, I think he's in the final throes of it.
Well, he said I was glad I got it early in the week.
Yeah.
Rather than getting it late.
Yeah, I think he's a day or two behind me.
Right, and you're a day or two behind Paul, or ahead of Paul.
Right. Paul's the original monkey from Africa who brought it over and infected all of us.
Did you ever see anybody draw so much amusement out of something as mundane as opening up a can of Pepsi?
It makes me laugh every time he does the click, click.
Like, I just opened up my can of Pepsi, and he laughed as if I had just, you know, I don't know, turned into Rodney Dangerfield.
Well, you know.
You really are something else.
I like life.
You like
life? I enjoy life. Like Junior Seau did, and that's a nice transition.
There's another
Junior
thing we Seau, can add to life then, opening up cans.
Junior Seau was a topic in both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady's press conferences today because he is one of the 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame that will be debated by the PFWA writers on Saturday. And both Brady and Belichick said, you know, if he can't make it, no one can. It's obvious going to.
Do you think he will?
Yes. If he doesn't,
I
think.
Well, I mean, eventually he will.
No. This year. If he doesn't this year, there's something wrong.
And not only he's whatever, like a 12-time Pro Bowler or some ridiculous
defensive player of the year.
Individual accolades, and not to sound crude about it, but I think he also, the fact that, you know, he had the untimely death, I think is probably going to work in his favor. I can't imagine, you know, I think Bill's quote was, I can't imagine a professional football Hall of Fame without him in it.
Right.
I think that was the quote that he had this morning.
And Brady said,
I agree
if
with that
he
100%.
Can't get in, then nobody can.
Is there still a lawsuit going on?
Oh, Fred always looks a little deeper. But it's not, because it's the Pro Football Writers.
Okay.
So it's not really the league.
That's true.
You could argue some of that might matter, but I don't see any way.
Even if it was against
the
league.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't.
And I don't think it will. It's not even a – I don't think it's a great class. I mean, there's some linemen and different things, but he is – pretty marquee among this year's candidates.
Okay. Geez, I'm just trying to think of, like, what's the low-hanging fruit here? And
there's no low-hanging fruit right now. It's the game. It's Garoppolo playing Wilson. It's this. It's, you know, talking to guys about the moment. I talked to a lot of guys today, and I'll be writing it later, about, you know, I said, you know, we've seen games, Patriots Super Bowls last year for Manning, that start really poorly. You know, really bad plays for the offensive line or something goes wrong, and that can kind of set a tone and be an issue. And I talked to guys about that, and they admitted it's, on one level, it's just the 19th game of the season, just like they've had 18 previous games that had a first play and a second play.
Right.
But then on the other level, it's the Super Bowl. It's just totally different. But you have to get in that mindset of, is it just, it's just a play. Don't overplay
right.
it or overthink
right.
it. Or
And see, that's my fear is, you know, no matter what you say, you get into that stadium on game day, and it just looks different.
Well,
and
everything about the
different game
is different too. You know, it's longer warm ups. It's longer halftime. It's, you know, they talk a lot of times about trying to managing even that halftime. It, you know, it's usually 12 minutes. It's much longer. It's like twice as long as that.
Gotta have time for Katie.
Just managing that the emotions and not emptying your tank in the first quarter,
right.
I think, is a big part of the whole Super Bowl experience. I think that's why a lot of people talk about that as being valuable,
yeah.
you know, having gone through that. Obviously, both teams have gone through that, Seattle more so than the Patriots, because I don't think there were as many Patriots that even were around in 11 the last time New England was there. So it's you are right, Andy, when you just bring that up. Just think about how many times in the first quarter something really odd happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and recently we've seen safeties right off
right.
in the first possession of the game. What? It happened to Tom Brady on his first pass, and it happened to Peyton Manning on the first play. So you never know how these games are going to start.
And especially, I think, in this game, because both teams are good. Both teams can do a lot, offense, defense, and so there's a natural maybe feeling out process. But if you get caught up in feeling out and get a play made against you, you know what I mean? You can't be focused on feeling it out. You got to be ready to react and to play.
I've said this before. I just think both teams are going to get so jacked in that first quarter.
But you can't be.
I know. But
like, so jacked,
how do you help yourself?
For example, if you're on defense and you're Chandler Jones and you're so jacked and you're going to tackle Marshawn Lynch, you're not going to let – oh, Russell Wilson has the ball. Uh-oh.
Right.
You know, that over-aggressive energy. And I joked with Danny Amendola. He could be the first Patriot to touch it if they receive the opening kickoff. And you can try not to be distracted by all those light bulbs, because that's like the most – notable image of the Super Bowl is that opening kickoff with all those light bulbs going off. And he said it is going to be different. It's just a kickoff. Again, it's just like he's done, but it's the kickoff at the Super Bowl.
Right, and everybody wants to be the guy that makes the play.
Right, but if you try to make the play more so than just make the play, you're probably going to allow the other team to make a play.
I know. So it's good to have that coach that's been to, I don't know, how many, 10 Super Bowls now, you know, be the person who's constantly reminded, look, just do your job. You know,
nine.
Be in the moment. You know, don't overthink it. It's you know, it is just it's still a game of football. Same rules, 60 minutes. But you know, with these two teams, you got the Patriots coming out with us against the world. You got the swagger of the Seahawks. It's you know, someone compared it to the opening round of Hagler Hearns. Remember that famous round?
Yeah.
Some people call it one of the best rounds of boxing ever. And in that round, Hearns actually had his jaw broken and fought the rest of the fight. It was a short fight.
Well, see, that's the thing,
but
too.
He fought with a broken jaw through adrenaline.
To your point, you know, you feel like that's the way this game is going to start. Well, that match lasted less than three rounds.
Right.
It was over.
That's what
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
No matter what, it's going 60 minutes.
Yeah, but if you are the one who only lasts three rounds,
you're
going to get killed.
One team could go 60 minutes and another team may not. You know, that's the fear I have early for the Patriots, because, you know, they're going to be so jacked.
Well, it's like we always say, you can't win the game in the first quarter, but you can kind of lose it.
Yeah, you sure can. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. 98 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Any other thoughts?
We're not on a big screen today.
There's something, I don't know, it's not going
he just
on.
Taps it.
Yeah.
I just want to thank our listeners and Twitter people for doing what I requested when I put out a photo of me hugging a cactus and asked them for captions. They did their job and made me laugh a number of times with the, hey, it's a prick and a cactus. Hey, it's Andy taking a team photo with Eric. And I didn't know there were so many pricks in there. Like, very, very well done, listeners.
Speaking of Eric, is he writing?
Yeah.
He's working
He actually has some news.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
The NFL has apparently come up with a new signal to let the defense know of the ineligible receiver. It's a what is it? What did he say? I forgot what he was.
What the signal is?
You do down low, but you do something
first. He kind of bends over and almost gives
ineligible
sign.
Would this new
Pete
signal...
This was from Pete Carroll's press conference.
Would
today,
this new signal be considered a rule change, something that had to go through the competition committee?
Apparently not.
I don't know. I don't have the
You'd have to read Eric's update that he's working
because
on right now.
Because you're not supposed to make changes mid-season.
Except they do. Remember when they made the Patriots not call back-to-back timeouts?
I know,
they did that mid-season.
I know. Another slight on the Patriots. Okay. See what I'm saying here? See what I'm saying? You know, they're helping out other teams because we're too innovative.
Okay. Well, whatever. Read Eric's story. He's got.
You may have just hit the nail on the head. For all I have no idea.
Yeah.
But there's a new signal apparently they're going to use to acknowledge Shane Vereen potentially coming in and being ineligible. Maybe it's a point and then a this or something.
Yeah.
A point at Vereen and then down low.
Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, I
just said, and then it's this.
Then it's down low.
If Carol mentioned it, it's probably true, but it's the first that any of us have heard of it.
Right. And I'm sure that Bill will be asked about it now tomorrow.
Well, I hope we're being notified about it is what I was about to say. I hope that.
Well, if they read Patriots.com, they will be.
Right. You know, I hope the Seahawks weren't the only team to be told about this new
Well, but they're the important one.
That's true.
Because it's us doing it in their defense.
No, I know, but we should know what's being done on the field.
That would be good if Pete came out in first play. 24 is ineligible. Lynch 24, whatever his name is. 24 is ineligible. 24 ineligible on this play.
And don't cover 24.
Little taste of our own medicine.
Yeah. All right. Wait a minute. So Carroll's doing the signal?
Carroll talked about it at his press conference, and Eric has
photos.
But
the refs are the ones doing the signal.
Yes.
Okay. I just want no, but because it was Carroll, he doesn't need to tell anybody.
No, it's a new signal, and he was showing the media what it was.
That's like, you know, the old.
So my opening statement stands.
Yes, it's another example of the Patriots being too innovative.
Right. And being, you know, penalized for it.
Well, I don't think they're being penalized.
How are they being penalized?
Well, last time we found something during the season that we were doing, calling two timeouts in a row.
But they're not telling them they can't do it.
No. But then they changed the rule that you couldn't in the middle of the season.
But that was different. They were telling them they couldn't do something.
But they should have waited till the end of the season next year, changed the rule.
You're 100% right.
I understand what that point is, but they were told they no longer could do something that was legal that season.
Right.
They're not being told that.
No, they're not being told.
They're not changing any rules.
I understand that, but there's still a new signal to aid the opposing team is being implemented that never existed before.
You could argue
mid-season.
They are diminishing the Patriots' advantage that they found in the legal playbook.
Exactly.
You could certainly argue that based on this. No question.
Yep. So, again, we are being slighted.
Keep fueling it. Keep fueling it.
It's true.
They hate us.
They hate us.
Rape and pillage. We're coming for everybody.
They hate us. If you haven't already seen it, I retweeted something last night. Barstool Sports, I don't know, a lot of people read it. I think they do. It's pretty popular.
It's pretty popular.
Among the college kids.
Yes.
I know your set doesn't really read it. But the owner of it, Portnoy, went to Media Day and actually cornered Mike Kensel. And Kensel ran away like, you know, a rat scurrying, you know,
away
from the light.
Shouldn't he?
But it was just so funny how he just turned tail and...
But he should.
Yeah.
I mean, you're one who has called for the league to stop with the leaks and get everything in order.
Yeah.
Those types of people should not be speaking.
Oh, absolutely.
You should have one voice.
Yeah.
But, Roger Goodell's office.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So he should scurry.
He should. And he shouldn't speak when behind the scenes either.
In a related note, former Barstool Sports writer Jerry Thornton, now of WEEI.com, apparently accosted Richard Sherman at a steakhouse last night.
Oh, really?
And was escorted out by authorities.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
I guess he blogged about it. I couldn't really, they had a video, but it was terrible. I couldn't really see or hear anything, but apparently he gave him his own act, basically, and started yelling at him, like, I'm the best blogger in the world, and you should know that, and you respect me, and whatever. But, he was asked to leave. And he wrote a thing, and P.S. was, I want to thank the officer who escorted me to the door and let me go and did not put me in cuffs.
That's funny.
So,
good publicity for EEI.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Paul loves it, too. That's what Paul would have done.
Oh, yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, it's not what I would do.
Well, she wasn't a woman online. It's not the kind of Babies Are Us.
Not the kind of publicity I'd be looking for.
Nor, but that's what he is. I mean, as long as Jerry Thornton is comfortable with his role with WEEI and the way he covers this team and roots for this team, he is not a professional journalist. I don't think he's trying to be a professional journalist. He's trying to be a professional homer,
a professional fan.
Right.
Yeah.
So if he's comfortable with that, it's a different. It's new age. It's the way we're going.
Yeah.
Shaughnessy will hate it. Paul will hate it.
Well, you know, really.
Well, I don't hate it. It's just not how I would go about if I was trying to establish legitimacy. That's picking a fight with another player.
But he isn't. He's trying to establish legitimacy as a super fan.
Yeah, and if I was EEI, I would want him to establish legitimacy.
Now, would you say
I would want the common man
think they want that.
To be legitimate, not to be a clown show.
See, I think they want
to be entertaining. Yes, it's okay. Now, would you think Bill Simmons started the whole common man thing, or was there someone even before him?
I can't think of anybody that did that kind of stuff before him, but I think that's a good example. I don't think he's a clown show.
No, no. I would agree. I think they're very different. Now,
I think he's over-the-top homer. He's over-the-top Boston sports fan.
Right.
And it's clear as day when you read it, but he's not a clown show.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think there's a difference there.
Okay. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go right to the phones because, you know, we've got 2 hours, but time goes fast and we have a lot of people that want to weigh in. Belarco's in Los Angeles. Hey, Belarco.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
I just received my PFW newspaper yesterday. Apparently, we just beat the Ravens.
Sorry about that.
By the way, I read Paul's tweet, and I was like, he's sick. Like, how are you feeling, Paul?
I'm doing a little bit better. Doing a little bit better. I feel like I'm getting a little better every day, which is the right, you know, I'm moving in the right direction, as Fred would say.
Will you be 100% by Sunday like Brady?
I don't see myself being 100% on Sunday.
Oh, really? Are you that bad?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't see myself being 100% on Sunday.
All you need is a little bit of avocado ice cream with cacao.
Did you have pneumonia or the flu?
I had the flu.
I had the flu, too. How come I'm better than you?
Maybe you're just tougher than me. What do you want me to tell you?
Could be. What else, Balarco?
Yeah, I just wanted to, like, drop my prediction, because next time I call in, I'm probably going to talk about which guards to draft. So, so my prediction is we are going to win 31-16.
31-16. Paul put it in the book, Balarco, 31-16. All right, thanks, Balarco.
I unfortunately forgot the book. I should have brought the book today for our picks, but I didn't.
Let's move over to Tennessee. Melvin's on the line. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Yeah, I talked about the offensive line of the Seahawks being bad, and I wanted you all to elaborate on that a little bit more, because I think that's interesting, because, of course, if the offensive line is so bad, how does it relate to Lynch? Are they just good at run blocking, or are they not pass, not good at pass protection?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I do think Lynch makes a lot of yards on his own, number one. And I also think that Max Unger, Andy, help me out here if I'm wrong, he missed a good portion of the season, and he's been back lately. Mm-hmm. So that has helped their offensive line as well. But I don't think it's – I think at the tackles, I think Carpenter, the guy from Alabama with Saban, right, Andy?
James Carpenter.
James Carpenter and –
Dante Hightower's former roommate.
Okung. They're not. Neither one of those guys has been great. Certainly not lived up to the draft status that they had. And I think that they struggle a little bit up front. Now, it probably not as bad as I've made them out to be, because you know they do run for a lot of yards. And I feel like Russell Wilson creates a lot of that on his own. And I'm not sure how much of that is great blocking as opposed to scheme. So, you know, we'll see. I think that's an area of the game I think the Patriots might have an edge. I think that they can control the game with the front seven and maybe not allow Russell Wilson to get as much production on the ground as he is accustomed to.
We were talking about that new single by the refs. Steven writes in, so we're very much in tune with it. It's been a new – oh, I'm sorry. Carol said, we've been preparing for it every day because we don't want to be caught mishandling on our end. So it's really on us to see it. The officials do what they do, but we still have to find it because it could happen like it did to the Colts. So we're very much in tune with it. It's just been a part of the preparation, so it's not a big deal to us now. And Stevens, who the writer, says, guess Bill got what he wanted. We've been preparing for it every day. That's exactly what you want. Distract them from the real task at hand. 1-0, Bill. Love you guys. Rock the Patriots. Embrace the hate and eliminate. And sent from my iPad the $400 one I bought for the PFW app. It's an expensive
app. That's a good
deal.
That's a good deal.
Right.
Josh McDaniels talked about that, and he said, I hope they are preparing for it. He said, of course, we're preparing for things that we've seen from Seattle once or twice all year, but we're still preparing for them because they could do it, and we need to be prepared when they're on your field. So it's not like it's a one-way advantage. Teams have these various things that they spend time preparing for that they may never see.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Seattle's a team that has used some trick plays, had some different things. They have the fake
They just
punt,
had a fake field goal.
Fake field goal.
For a touchdown in the NFC Championship game. So I'm sure that Bill has had Scott O'Brien and those troops preparing for that all week as well.
And they're an emotional team that might, you know, I wouldn't put a Sean Payton-like quirky timing of something past them. Super Bowl. There's no tomorrow.
You always seem to see something like that in a Super Bowl.
How much would it be a statement, you know, of how much you trust your defense to if you're kicking off, just doing an onside kick if you're the Seahawks? You know, we're so confident we can stop you. That
the opening kick?
Opening kick.
I wouldn't do that.
That would be pretty confident, no question.
Based on the way the Packers marched down the field on them last week, I wouldn't do that.
the Packers' best drive of the day was probably the first one. And
butter,
they threw a pick in the end zone to end it.
But they went right down the field, and if you give Brady the ball midfield, you're setting yourself up to dig that hole that we say the Seahawks aren't really built to come out of.
Right.
I mean, it'd be ballsy. You're right. And if you recover it, okay, it's great. But
you
I would not
come in with your balls.
They,
so. Sure,
they certainly sounded confident, the defenders that I talked to, about the new ref signal thing today.
Well, they should. It's a gimmick.
About how, well, no, not just about knowing what the signal is, but
no, I mean the offensive able to, is a gimmick.
Yeah, being able to recognize when the Patriots do something different like that. And, you know, Pete saying that the Colts got caught off guard.
And
by, yeah, well, but he actually did. I don't know if you guys mentioned off the top, too. Pete also said there was a mistake made by the refs in this AFC Championship
game. No, we didn't touch on
that, no. I think he was referring to Nate Solder's touchdown. He might not have been, but he was referring to a touchdown by the Patriots in which, on the previous play, an ineligible player reported as eligible, then didn't come off the field
right.
for the next play, and the
yes.
Patriots scored on that next play.
I believe it's Vereen went from ineligible to eligible on consecutive plays without coming off the field.
Oh.
Should have been a penalty.
Right.
I believe Bill Polian may have been the first to point that out when I saw it a week plus ago. But there were, I believe...
Figures that the refs didn't see it.
I believe, according to Bill Polian's rundown, there were three penalties that have been missed on the Patriots' ineligible sequence of plays that have been missed on New England.
Yeah, did you get what I was saying? Because they're incompetent. Do you understand?
I got what you were saying, Paul.
I get it.
But I really think it's a gimmick. I mean, I just...
No, but
I think the Seahawks were a better coach team.
Harbaugh got caught with his pants down. For the short time that it was a gimmick, it was effective.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But I can't see the Seahawks losing this game or having significant plays because they're caught with their pants down because, you know, Shane Vereen is ineligible.
Right. Maybe the Patriots will have something else up their sleeve for this week.
I'm sure they will.
Michael Bennett was funny, though, because when I asked him about it, he said, he's like, the league makes up new rules every day. I'm looking at the rule book every week and finding something different. And he's like, they're just trying to cover their butts now with all of this. It's so funny covering another team.
You should tell them, you know, jumping offside has always been illegal, Michael.
Oh.
It's just funny how
I'll give you a prop bet for
on other teams.
One and a half is the over-under for them.
Cognizant of being careful about what
say.
Yeah.
Michael Benedict
Croce. We're so used to hearing players who are very tight-lipped, buttoned up, reading off a script.
It's a lot more fun covering other teams.
Let's go to Marcus in D.C. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, what's going on, fella?
Hey.
Eric's just adjusting his headset again.
I can't help it.
Still going strong.
It's comfortable.
I'm ready to finish this job.
I hear you. Trouble is, it's only Thursday, and the game's not until Sunday.
Yeah, but we do need picks today.
I'm ready to go, though. The new production video that you guys got on the site is excellent. I think I don't know whoever did it, but they did a great job.
That's Rachel from Craft Sports Productions.
Formerly of PFW in Progress. She got her start on this show, Ray Ray. Character from long ago.
Yeah.
But I want to tell one more thing. We tell Paul something. Paul, I'm not sure if everyone's being honest with you, but there's a lot of Patriots fans out there that's a little scared of this game. You said no one's concerned or no one's scared. There's some fans out there that are scared, and that's why they look for every little thing, you know, whether it be other team matchups, who play who. You know, that's because we're a little scared out here, and I think that's due to the media, you know, making the Seahawks out to be this, you know, unbeatable champion. And I like what Blunt came out and said. You know, he came out and said, listen, you know, they did enough to get here and they can be beaten. I like that attitude.
Yeah, I don't think – I think the point that I was trying to make is that I don't think that the Patriots fans should be scared. I feel like Fred's been made this point on Tuesday, and I think it remains the best two teams in the league are in the Super Bowl for a reason. It's not like you upset three teams to get here and no one thought you could be here. This is where you were supposed to be. You had a great offseason, adding Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner and Brandon LaFell and all the way down the line. You made some great moves. They all panned out. And this is where you were supposed to be.
Yep.
And I think most people thought this is where Seattle would end up being. There's no need to be afraid or fearful. And I don't think the media is making one team out to be unbeatable in this game. I really don't. I think that most media people feel like this is a very evenly matched game, and I've been sort of very informally just chatting up some various people, and I've heard a lot of people think the Patriots are going to win a close one, and a lot of people think Seattle's going to win a close one. I really don't have a consensus.
I think what has a lot of people concerned is there's a couple things. Patriots have lost their two last two Super Bowls.
Yes.
And I think that's weighing on people's mind. I can't take another one. The other thing is, last year, the two best teams were in the Super Bowl, and one of them was clearly better than the other.
The right? second best didn't measure up.
Right. And I think people are fearful that that might be the case. I don't see that happening, though. I really
see,
don't.
See, I don't either, because I think Indy made a point yesterday. I know you were making a joke about it, but the coaching difference is so vast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, John Fox coming out and not really preparing for noise in the stadium because it's a neutral site to yeah. me just
we,
struck me
we
as.
We didn't really think it'd be that loud.
I mean, it just struck me as.
We weren't aware they were going to wear helmets.
No. We were a little thrown off when they had a coin toss at the beginning of the game and someone had a kick. I mean, I just don't understand how you can go into a game not prepared for some semblance of noise.
Right.
And that bothered you to the extent that it did. I just can't see a Bill Belichick coach team. Listen, if Seattle wins the game because they're better, so be it. Tip your hat. The other team is better. I don't see the Patriots getting outplayed like that, where they're not competitive. I've never really seen a Patriots team like that since Belichick and Brady have been together. Happens so infrequently, it's usually only because of a massive turnover.
And that's why Kansas City was such a, oh my God moment.
Right.
You know? Let's go to Mike in Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good. Great.
Question / statement. McCourty, Vereen, Revis, Roquefort, who won't be here next year?
That's a good question. Vereen. I'd say Revis is here.
Vereen, I think, has Vereen, a good chance probably. To not be here.
Yeah. I'd say Wilfork and Vereen have the lesser chance of the four.
I think Wilfork will be here. I think Vereen has the most likely to not be here. Maybe he'll go to Chicago and play with his brother.
And my
did his brother go to Chicago?
They make such a big deal about that kid going, the assistant going through the men's room or whatever to the field.
Right.
But what they don't tell the audience is the Patriots are the ones who turn that tape over.
That's
they
right.
Find
that's...
it. The Patriot. Nobody says that on TV or radio.
Well, what you're saying is 100% accurate, but it could be also that the Patriots were forced to turn over everything. So, you know, it's not like we were selective in what we turned over. We were probably asked to turn over all tapes within that time frame. So
the Patriots will be booed when they get on the field and they'll walk off winners.
Good. I agree, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Mike.
Let's go to Christian in Boston. Christian, how you doing? Is this Chris with a T-I-A-N?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm still digging out from the snow.
Oh, man.
Wait till it melts and you got to measure all that water.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we get a good April because it seems like it's going to last until that long. Brutal. Great job all week with the coverage, guys. Awesome. Listening to the podcast and the work on the site, Fred. I don't know who's responsible for the five or six sort of little screens within the one screen for the press conferences. That's pretty sweet on the site.
Yeah, that's we're pretty proud of that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. It looks really cool. I had a question for you guys as far as scheme goes. Seattle is on defense is a pretty much do what we do type defense, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
What they do is kick your ass. Yeah. And Andy, I was with you yesterday at Camp Chancellor. Very impressive interview. Just really, really, a guy that you would like to have on your team, I think. Came across very well.
Yep.
And certainly comes across very well on the field. Do you think that the guys like Edelman and Amendola will be able to take advantage in the middle of the field? If this is a do-what-you-do team, and they line up and they don't move around a whole lot, and they pretty much stay where they are, a la Sherman staying on one side of the field, do you think that these guys in the interior can take advantage of that?
I think they'll try. I mean, obviously, the interior is good, too. We talk about Chancellor. I think Earl Thomas is probably the safety with some of the best range in football right now. But I do think the quickness, motion, formations, the things the Patriots like to do, moving guys around and then having guys like Edelman and Amendola that are based on quickness, I do think that's going to be an interesting early part of the game factor to see how the Seahawks match up with that.
Yeah, I just think because it's so big, I think it may be able to take advantage of that. And I think the other thing is the running game. You guys talked about, getting the running game going. I think that's huge. I think that's huge because play action is so big for this team. And, if the play action's working and the running game's working, it'd be pretty tough to stop.
I don't have that much worries about stopping their offense. I mean, Russell Wilson obviously scares the hell out of me, and Lynch certainly is a fantastic runner. But, you know, Dougie Baldwin just doesn't scare me, sorry. I just don't. Luke Wilson, maybe? I don't know. But not the way the defense is this year. I think we can handle them. So.
Yeah, if the Patriots lose this game because the pass defense can't deal with Seattle's passing game,
that
is going to be sky is falling disappointment.
Really? Yeah.
If you brought in Revis and you were good during the year.
That's the one thing we're not supposed to have to worry about in this game.
Yeah. If Marshawn Lynch runs all over you and Wilson runs, okay, you know, that's unfortunate, but I think you can accept or see
that. They've done
that
to a lot of teams.
Right. All right, thanks, Christian.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Christian.
I talked to a couple different guys today about the running the ball and the fact that, you know, they are really good against the run, but do you, can you? And I asked Dan Conley, I just said, can you guys run the ball on them? And he said, I know one thing, we're going to try. And it was a very confident sort of thing that, you know, he might just give me, you know, be blowing smoke up my ass. I don't know. But he said that, and Amendola talked about, we got to run the ball. It's going to start with the running game. We got to get play action going. So if the players are to be believed at all, we're going to get a taste of some running game.
Yeah, it might be one of the just a case of it's so obvious they can't even deny it.
Right. Yeah, I put this up just for Paul, kind of. There were a couple hints that maybe James Devlin might have a little increased role in the game.
What was that?
He's recycling.
He's recycling.
Okay. All right.
What?
Okay.
Juve writes in.
He knows about the.
Pretty simply.
Know about one of the other ones, yeah.
He says Dan Reeves is a douchebag, Brian Griese is a douchebag, Jerome Bettis is a douchebag, and Kurt Warner is a douchebag. Probably a few I left out. Feel free to fill in.
Marshall
Go
Paul.
Patriots. Super excited for the game. Thank you guys for all the hard work. And thank you, Mr. Kraft. After listening to you on Monday night, I've been fired up. And, you know, we actually ran across him last night, and we told him that. We told him that fans are telling us that that's what they wanted to hear, they needed to hear, and they were really thankful. He was happy to hear that.
And we told him that he essentially dropped the mic and walked off, and we had to explain to him what dropping the mic
was.
Oh, no, but the funny thing is, we tried to explain to him who Eminem was, and it turns out he's been to 8 Mile with Eminem.
With Eminem.
So it's like, you know, we felt like idiots.
Right, you guys have your book smarts, I live it.
Right.
You saw 8 Mile, I lived 8 Mile.
Right.
But he was very appreciative of the reaction, because we told him how you guys reacted to Robert Kraft's dropping of the mic.
Right.
That was
upon
funny.
Arrival
was
on Monday.
The 8 Mile thing was funny.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Let's
I looked at him, I go, I don't know. This is what those crazy college kids say nowadays, Mr. Kraft.
Glenn writes in, Jackie predicted Ridley would not fumble this year. Check. Andy predicted Gronk would play every game.
I predict, and I should have been
19
right.
19 games.
I should have been right. No, but I'm not.
Well, no,
he sat out the finale. But I should have been right.
No, see, you get credit for that.
We had a good show that show, Jackie and I, when we had those predictions.
I don't recall, but did anyone predict the Patriots to win the Super Bowl by beating the Seahawks?
I don't think so.
I think I did in PFW.
I did, but I did by beating the Packers.
I had them losing to the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think I had them beating the Seahawks in our, you know, our predictions that we do at the
you should probably look into that, and so you know for sure whether you should be bragging and being your pompous self. You actually have reason to be pompous and
braggadocious.
I know I didn't make that pick.
No, so Paul actually.
I shan't be bragging about it.
If anyone out there has the PFW season preview edition, please look it up for me and tell me what.
Because we don't.
We don't have it hard copies on hand.
No. Freddie, Paul's crankiness has made its way to the coaching staff now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Bears Najarian said hello to us, and Paul, like, snapped at him, and I was like, he's been like this all week. He's very cranky.
He comes by, and I was busting his balls. He comes by, and he goes, hey, Andy, how you doing? And I go, oh, so just Andy. And as I said, oh, just Andy, he said, Paul. And he goes, what are you talking about? I just did. And I said, no, I know how it is.
And I go, welcome to my week. He's been like this all week.
This next email comes from Sybil, pronounced C. Bill. Okay, now I know. So I'll start again. This next email comes from C. Bill in Connecticut, where they have 33 inches of snow, where she is. I'm totally addicted to your show. I've been listening for about 2 years now. I'm grateful for the day I discovered you. No wonder the media and fans from other teams hate us so much. We have the best coach, the best quarterback, and the best podcast.
It's true.
It actually, interesting, the Seahawks weren't even streaming their press conferences live today.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird.
Did they do it yesterday?
I don't think we checked, but today we checked, and they weren't
doing it.
So our last two opponents, one took like the whole week off because they were having a blue out and they weren't posting anything on their website,
right.
And this one doesn't post.
They have a
things.
Great website, but in particular, they don't do the live streaming for the press conferences.
Why not? You know, were we in the first show? Who knows?
Who knows?
Have we revolutionized the podcast game? Who knows?
Perhaps. C-Bill writes in, the Broncos paved the way for us with their abysmal loss last year against the Seahawks, allowing Belichick to take abundant notes and making lists such as things not to do when playing in Super Bowl against Seahawks, things to avoid when playing in Super Bowl against Seahawks, do not ever throw the ball over Brady's head on opening day, and yelling Omaha, Omaha is not helpful. I feel strongly we are going to win, call it female intuition or French intuition. I know our team has been galvanized by the nonsense of the last 11 days. The media is full of donkeys, and I cannot believe Belichick is going to let this Super Bowl slip by him. This is the year of the New England Patriots, 34-20 Patriots. Mm. If the Seahawks lose, they will henceforth be known as the Legion of Plumes.
Wow.
Eric, you would like that?
That's a French word for
feathers?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you think Bill watched last year's Super Bowl with Steve, his son, and said, write this down. Noisy.
There might be noise.
Prepare for noise.
Because the pool report from yesterday did emphasize that Bill was playing a lot of noise, a lot of music and stuff throughout the practice. Jarrett Bell, the USA Today, is the pool reporter. So he's certainly not going to miss that issue.
Back to the phones, John and Bourne. Hey, John.
Oh, hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up?
Hey. Right. I got a scenario of how the game is going to be played out. I think what will happen is we're going to take the opening kick. We're going to march right down the field like we did against the Bengals. We're going to use a lot of our shorter receivers, you know, because Seattle has bigger defensive backs. We're just going to shimmy them out of the way. We're going to win 30-17, as Jeff in Vegas says, lock it in.
Lock it in.
And as the Tuesday show, which I couldn't stop cracking up at, Russell Wilson will be caught with a 14-year-old. Oh,
but that has to happen before the game. All right.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, that's only good if it happens before the game. I don't care what happens after the game.
Fred, Idina Menzel making her way around Radio Row. That's why we should be there.
Who?
Idina Menzel.
Who's that?
Let it go.
Yes, the Broadway singer. That's where she made her name. But then she became really famous for doing the Elsa song.
She's Elsa,
Frozen,
the singing Elsa, and she's also singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's why she's here now at Radio Row. But maybe next time we'll go to Radio Row.
Let's go to Corey in Wisconsin. Hey, Corey.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Sup?
Maybe no one knows. Maybe no one knows.
We all know what Seattle's defense is capable of, but of course we've all seen Russell Wilson make, you know, miraculous clutch plays. But do you really think they have the offensive power to beat New England?
If they run the football the way they can, yes. I mean, everybody who said it yesterday, if we can shut down the run, we will win. Yes, I 100% agree. They do not have the firepower through the air, in my opinion, to top
them. There's no Tyree or Manningham this year, so I don't see any excuses.
Well, first of all, there might be a Tyree because there was no Tyree when Tyree was there until he was Tyree.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about two guys that we really haven't heard much from since. You know, so it doesn't take much to make that big play.
Yeah, I mean, Manningham's a good player, but Tyree...
He wrote a book and he's been gone for 5 years.
Baldwin and Curse are 1,000 times better players than David Tyree was. But I agree with the overall premise is that Seattle, I don't think, is equipped to get into any kind of a high-scoring affair. And if their defense doesn't play well, they'll be in for a long game because I don't think that's Russell Wilson's game. I don't think that they want to see him having to throw the ball for 350 yards to keep his team, keeping up with Tom Brady. But they don't look at it that way. They look at it as their defense keeps you down, and that way they can continue to run Marshawn Lynch and continue to sort of pick and choose their spots with Wilson, and they'll be able to score enough points that way.
So I think people are expecting or potential to see something be exposed, various things being exposed, whether it's Russell Wilson if he has to throw the ball a lot, whether it's the Patriots' run defense, that for the most part was good over the second half of the season. Is it really not that good when you face Marshawn Lynch? what's going to be exposed in this game? What is fraud? How about just the Seahawks defense? We had all the callers yesterday. They haven't played a quarterback all year. When they, you know, what is the most likely fraudulent aspect of this game? I throw the Patriots offensive line in there. You know, because everybody, I heard Dave DiGuglielmo tell me they've been good. You know, what is most likely to be exposed as fraudulent?
Well, most likely, it's a tough question.
Now, this is for the Patriots?
No, for anything. For this game.
You know, I could say that maybe beyond Gronk and Edelman, it's exposed that the Patriots don't have a lot of depth for receivers. I mean,
LaFell had a good year.
LaFell has had a good year.
He has. That's why I say
that. I think
that
that's a candidate.
You know, but in this type of game, maybe, you know, I don't want to be right about that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say another one that has the potential, and doesn't mean that you'd lose the game, but
Patriots running the ball,
the run defense that has been a strength the last half of the season, I think could get exposed in a game like this. Doesn't mean it will, and it doesn't mean that the Patriots lose if it does. Now, if it's really exposed, then it does probably mean you're going to lose. But I feel like Eddie Lacy was pretty good. I think the Jets did a pretty good job of running the ball. The teams that want to run the ball and made some kind of a commitment to run the ball, Baltimore, they generally did.
That would be one of my biggest concerns, the running defense and the offensive line. Yeah. Now, I'm kind of where I've been a lot of the year.
Now, on the other side, I'll say perhaps the Seahawks could be – their offense could be exposed, you know, to be even less effective when they go up against a coach who really knows how to scheme. And in doing that, not only, you know, renders the offense effective, but maybe exposes Richard Sherman a little bit. That, you know, he likes his things his way, but when he's made to guess and have to play a lot of the field and cover different guys and different sets and formations, maybe he's not as effective.
Could be.
Yeah, I think that there's a chance that they're, you know, to your point about Cam Chancellor, Andy, you know, tight ends have caught touchdown passes against him. Now, I understand that they don't allow any touchdown passes.
Right.
So everybody focuses on the number 11, because I think 11 tight ends, touchdowns they've allowed, but they only allowed 16 or so, or 17?
17.
Touchdown passes all year.
Right.
Right.
So that's an absurdly low number to allow, but almost all of them were by tight ends.
Right.
And I think we could be looking at something to get exposed. Well, maybe Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor aren't.
That's what I think.
Quite
is funny,
as good
right.
as everybody. You know,
a lot of people think that's the best safety tandem in football, and yet the statistics would say the one place you can get to them in the red zone is tight ends in the middle. Like,
and oh, by the way, you have a guy who scores more touchdowns at that position than anybody else.
Did you guys know that Richard Sherman's going to be a father soon?
Evidently, his girlfriend could give birth any day.
Yeah, because that was a question going around to the Seahawks today, was, and to Sherman in particular.
Has
was,
he said anything about potentially not playing in all seriousness?
Yes, today he was asked directly about it.
Has he said what about getting married?
We're going to cast.
Well delivered.
But no, he was asked directly today, what happens if...
Why do you keep moving doors?
Because they're uncomfortable.
I know, but it makes a lot of noise.
I'm sorry, but it hurts. It's uncomfortable.
It hurts?
Yes, it hurts. It's putting a huge dent in my head.
Oh, he's got a dent in his head.
So put it like a napkin on top.
Anyway.
Right there, that.
It's not even touching your head.
Up here, Fred. Yes, it is. Oh, it's right digging there. Into my head.
Digging.
If only you had hair.
But he was asked specifically if the child was going to be delivered on Super Bowl Sunday, would he play in the game? And... He kind of left the door open for I would sit out the game if my child was born on Super Bowl Sunday.
Wow.
He said, he was joking around a little bit and said, you know, he's going to be a responsible child and do his father his first favor and stay put for at least another week or two. But he didn't rule that out.
It's a tough situation.
He didn't rule that out not playing. And then the reporter who asked it was going around asking a bunch of other Seahawks, you know, why would you think if your teammate gave up the Super Bowl to see the birth of his son? And
then Jeremy Lane would have to play a lot.
Yeah, and then he would get exposed as being, you know, right. the fifth-string cornerback that he is.
Yep.
But I thought it was interesting that that Sherman wasn't going to rule out not playing in the game.
I'm with Fred on this one. I think that's the drama side coming through.
Yeah.
Possibly.
And I think he probably knows the doctors have told him that he's in the clear.
What if
in terms
he is
of that? So
but, you
he's
know,
a
what
smart
if
guy.
Happens?
He knows how to play it up. He's smart.
Oh, there's no question he plays up everything in
that's
markets.
What I'm saying.
But it's still a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a fascinating – it's the Super Bowl. He's Richard Sherman. He's such a key part of that. It's the spotlight. We know he loves the spotlight. You know, that'd be a tough situation.
He said we have plans in place or something along those lines for that eventuality.
It's
so
called the C-section.
It's called a power outage. Delay the game so we can get back.
They tried that in the Superdome.
Yeah, you know, it can happen
ago.
Again. You know what he'll do? They'll forget to put the field in, so he'll have that time it takes to wheel the field.
Amr's in California, and he's calling on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Amr.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's up?
Good. So, you know, I actually wanted to call in the last couple of days, but I haven't got the chance. But I think it was 2 days ago, you guys were talking about Aaron Rodgers, and one of you guys was calling him a DB. And I happen to know that he is for a fact.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was someone from Wisconsin that was calling him that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So about a year and a half ago, I was at a bachelor party in Cancun. And me and the guys were all in the pool and, you know, having fun, whatever. And this girl starts talking to us, and she asks us where we're from. We said we're from the Bay Area. And she's like, oh, I am too, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, I'm really good friends with Aaron Rodgers. I totally blow it off, just somebody name-dropping or whatnot. She's like, no, really. She goes and gets her phone, all these pictures of her and family and, you know, from when they're growing up and whatnot. And she's like, you know, everybody thinks he's so great, but he's actually one of the biggest jerks I know.
Wow.
She used a different word. I didn't want to say it on there. But
right.
Anyway, yeah, so I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, he comes across as, you know, like this clean cut, whatnot, but apparently he's a huge, huge jerk with a huge
ego. And I've heard that from other people too. Thanks, Amr. You know, but these fans that, you know, make these judgments of players that they meet up with in public, and for that moment he was a jerk to me, so he's a jerk, period. Yeah, it's tough to take those.
Well, that wasn't what she did.
Well, I think this is even worse than that. I mean, I you know, I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I haven't for a long time because I don't like his comportment. But this girl is supposedly his friend.
Right. Yeah.
I have all these pictures on my phone. I grew up with
right.
the kid.
Yeah.
And I'm telling everybody what a DB he is?
Right.
What kind of friend are you?
That's a true good point.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention this. I don't know if you guys saw this. The tease from Rob Gronkowski and Marshawn Lynch on Conan O'Brien that they taped.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched that.
I don't know if it airs
tonight.
What is
it that they did? They played
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat?
All sitting on a couch, but they were just like screwing around talking while they played.
Yeah.
And at one point, Conan says, Lipitor or something, go get yours now. And he says, I get paid to say that. And Gronk says, wait, you get free money to say Lipitor? And Gronk goes, Lipitor, I don't know what it is, but go get some. And then he goes, if it stays hard for 4 hours, call a doctor. And Conan goes, no, it's not that kind of thing, Rob. And the little snippet looks pretty funny.
All right.
And Marshawn Lynch is there, so, you know, Lord only knows.
God bless you.
You know why he's there.
Why is that?
No, that was one of the things he was saying the other day.
Oh.
I do hate him.
Oh. Jason and Maine, what are your guys' thoughts on special teams? One of the plays that helped Seattle blow the game completely open for good in last year's Super Bowl was the second half opening kick return for a touchdown. I know that was Harbin, and he's not there anymore, but do you think there could be any big special teams plays on either side?
Danny Amendola is going to return the opening kick for a touchdown.
I think it's going to be a good close game with the Patriots pulling away late in the fourth, 27-16.
I think the guy that I would focus on there, Andy, is Edelman.
Does have a knack for the big play.
I think the
but Amendola is blown up of late.
The Seahawks looked a little. I thought they looked a little leaky in punt coverage last week, especially in the first half. I thought Micah Hyde had a couple. This was 2 weeks ago, I should say, in the NFC Championship game. Looked like he had a couple of quality returns, and I think you give Edelman an opportunity, you give him some open field, and I think he electrifies the crowd. I think there's a chance that's an X factor kind of thing.
Incredible didn't cover for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance because I think the Patriots special teams have been so good all year long. And I know that statistically the Seahawks have been pretty good, but they didn't look real good to me covering punts last week. And I wonder if that's something that might be overlooked.
Fred, that was your nickname, right, that we used on the cover, Incredelman?
Yeah.
You came up with that.
I did come up with that.
Because I've seen people use that recently.
Well, they steal from us all the time.
Yep.
It's what they do. So most sincere form of flattery.
Yep. We were the first to use Incredelman.
We were the first to do most things.
You know,
we did take Tuesday.
Who knows?
Fred right.
Well,
we
do know in this case.
No, I do know. We did take Tuesday, and then the Globe started to take Tuesday. We did Stockwatch, and then the Globe started doing Stockwatch. Yeah. We did Incredelman, and everybody started doing Incredelman.
Fred started a blog. Everybody blogs.
That's right. Nick's in Victoria.
Hey!
Good for him.
Canada.
Good for Victoria.
First, thanks, Kevin, for the play-by-play on how to start the show, and then Fred's mic was off. Greatness. I come to expect from my favorite sports show.
Greatness.
I guess you were on air all the whole time you were setting up Kevin.
Nice job, Kev.
A little behind the scenes. Bring people behind the scenes.
Well, as long as he didn't say
anything. Yeah, as long as he didn't drop any profanity.
It's been a long week.
Do you guys see Ayers making an appearance in this game, or will he be on the sideline as he has been?
Okay, let's play that game. Everybody wants Timms,
yeah.
Wright,
yeah.
Ayers,
and Gray.
Yeah.
And Gray. Which of those four is most likely to have a big impact Super Bowl Sunday?
A big impact?
Tim Wright.
I'm taking Gray out.
Yeah, Tim Wright.
Yep.
Tim Wright I'm taking out.
Oh.
Well,
that's really? Not fair.
Nah, I don't know. Maybe not.
So let's say Gray,
Tim Wright,
Gray, Timms, or Ayers.
And by big impact, I mean, yeah, I think he catches a one-yard touchdown pass. Because that's what he does.
or a couple of them.
I'm not meaning that as being
scoring
any way
a touchdown
disrespectful.
In the Super Bowl is a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why I said why I'm not saying. Meaning that to be any way disrespectful.
Right.
I'd say 1B is Ayers, only because of the fact that he's...
I think he's the most likely to make a play of all those besides Wright.
Okay. I'm just... You know, sometimes these games are about the stars, and that's a possibility. It might be Revis, Brady, Gronkowski.
Right.
And then sometimes these games are about some
David
guy.
Tyree.
David Tyree.
Or Malcolm Smith.
Or whoever else. But, some guy that people aren't expecting.
But don't you think the way this season has gone this year, you know, that the most fitting end for the Patriots would be MVP for Tom Brady and to have one of his best Super Bowls ever after what he went through this year, and you know, people saying he's done and all this, and Garoppolo, and then he comes back and the Brady chance. You know, so much of the focus has been on him and whether or not he's coming to the end or has come to the end.
What about Gronk?
I would say any of the three guys, any of the big three.
Yeah.
Revis, Gronk, Brady, you know, leading them to victory. And
but in terms of that,
one of those three.
In terms of that Broadway and that dramatic.
Well, yes, because he's the quarterback.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I think if Gronkowski would retire, I would say that. But I don't think there's.
I think Gronkowski's story is every bit as big. He's the guy who's never been healthy at the end, and we've talked about
comeback player of the year.
He can make you the Super Bowl champion. What could you have been had he been healthy? And now you have him back healthy. He considered, you know, those quotes. I thought my career was over. Is this it, Doc? Am I ever going to be the same? And Gronkowski comes out. If he has a 180 and two or three touchdowns, that'd be great.
Maybe he was lobbying for comeback player of the year when he said that.
Now, we didn't get to ever talk about that. Were you guys upset about that?
What?
Andy?
What?
Comeback player of the year for Gronk?
Who won it?
Gronk.
No. That was the PFWA's award. That wasn't the
real one. That was the AP.
No. Saturday night is the award show.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, okay.
PFWA puts out their own awards, and they're stupid because they don't let me be a member.
They're stupid.
Ryan in B-Town says that Felger's still talking about Deflategate. Just
of course
let
he
us
is.
Know. Why are you listening to his show?
Well, the funny part about that is he had no interest in Deflategate when it happened.
And now he does.
And now all of a sudden he's still talking about it, like 3 weeks later?
Mike, take in Dina Manziel's advice.
Let it go! All right, we've come up to an hour. People are still hanging on the lines. We're going to get to you right after this.
After this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
W in progress. Yes. All right, we're back here. PFW in progress, coming to you live from the team hotel in Arizona. Andy, you got something to say?
Hey, fans, think the Patriots are going all the way? Prove it. Tweet your vote using hashtag who's gonna win to put your Super Bowl 49 prediction on the map. Then visit whosgonnawin.com to see the fandom of the entire nation. Verizon, powering fandom with the most powerful network.
We saw the current status of that a little earlier, and it looked like it was 53-47 in favor of Seattle.
Right. But, you know, not all the precincts are reporting.
That's true.
Right? And who cares?
We're still waiting for some of the smaller
what matters is what happens
suburbs.
On Sunday.
And we know what Paul thinks about fans. They're stupid.
That's
they don't
know.
Real quick, Paul in London writes in.
Good night, mate.
I hope you're all having a good time in Arizona. Sure, looking forward to some non-Patriot stories, some of which will surely involve the random adventures of Fred Kirsch. Predicted preseason, the Patriots to win 20-17 over the Seahawks. I'm thinking it's more likely to be 27-20 Patriots instead. Who are your picks for MVP? And shout out to James from Wales, Cormac and Todd in Nova Scotia, who I don't hear from much anymore. And shout out to Chester and the PFW Elite. And if Fred reads this and we make it home with the Lombardi, put me down for lunch sometime in the dead season prior to free agency.
Nice.
Woo! So consider it done.
So odds on MVP, I think you got to go Brady as the favorite.
Yeah,
the odds on favorite.
I'm going to say Gronk.
I would say Gronk second. Edelman third, and I'm going to say because he could have like nine catches and a key punt return. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you who could be a dark horse there. Either Collins or Hightower, just for sheer number of tackles. If they do a decent job against Lynch, hold him under 100 yards, and one of those guys have like 13, 14 tackles, they could be in there.
Very dark
horse. Very, very dark horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What else we got? I think Revis is a dark. Any defensive player is always a dark horse. Yeah. Tell you who I'm rooting for. Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah.
Imagine if he had a pick and a forced fumble or something.
If he had one of those games like in Miami a few years ago.
Yes.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. He's got the beard and he's accepting it. That'd
be awesome.
Great.
Do they still get a Cadillac?
Yes, I believe they do.
Mm. I get a car. Remember Joe Flacco?
It was funny.
They give me a car.
I was talking to one of the. What's his name? Brian Walters, the receiver kick returner for Seattle, because he's a Cornell guy. I was asking him about James Devlin.
Is it Brian or Kevin?
Or I forget now.
Sorry,
I think it's Brian. But anyway, I was talking to him, and as I was about to go up to his table, there was one other guy there talking to him. And so I'm like, oh, good, I'll get my question real quick. It was the guy from Disney World or from NBC with, like, a stack of papers that he had to sign. He was going around to all the players and getting them to sign the individual. If you're the MVP, here's what we need you to do.
Right.
You get the car, you get to fly the parade and all that stuff. And he was explaining all this to Walters while I was sitting there. I'd never seen that process before. I thought they just grabbed the player on the field and –
But
instead
in this day and age of legal, you can have everything signed, sealed, delivered.
It is Brian, by the way.
What if you were a player and like a Brady who has everything and said, you know what, I'm not doing all that. Keep your car. And wouldn't sign.
Well, but what he would
Didn't
do is probably
him?
Give it away.
Did Brady sue him last time?
Well, there was something about him not getting the car. Something.
No,
like...
I thought they used his name.
Oh, right, right. Beyond
the
what?
Agreement or whatever.
Yeah.
So he might not.
He might not, but... Yeah. I think in most cases, a player would take the car and then either give it to charity.
I do remember the first year, the 2001 Super Bowl, he had to go up to Belichick's room and ask for permission because Bill wanted everybody to make sure everybody's coming home on the plane. And he had to ask for permission. You know, can I go to Disney World? And he told him, of course. But that was part of the America's game with that first one. I remember that at the end.
Drew's in Connecticut on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey!
You hear me?
Yes!
Andy just cracked a chair. Oh, no, wait, that's not what happened.
What's up?
All right. I'm sure you guys noticed, as well as everyone else, that late in the year and in the playoffs, Brady started throwing a lot of picks kind of towards Gronkowski.
Yep.
And most of the time, they were just kind of line drive throws, like the one in San Diego to Manti Te'o, I think it was. He had Gronk open, just threw it right to Te'o. Do you think that Brady just doesn't see him or what? Because Gronk, 6'6", 6'7", it's not hard to just throw it up and let him get it. As Andy says it all the time, he's a big guy, just let him go up and get it.
Yeah, but he rarely throws it up for him to go get it. He's been throwing it low and short to him quite a bit lately, and that's what's gotten him in trouble.
Yeah, that's why I wonder, do you think he hasn't seen him? Because, like...
Oh, he sees him.
Well, I think sometimes he doesn't. I think he counts on the play action pass to hold that inside linebacker longer, and he's a little surprised when he's.
I think both of the ones.
I think
in the
your
playoffs.
Cough button is broken.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, because you just coughed right into the mic.
I think both of the ones in the playoffs were examples of what you just said, Andy.
You must not have pressed it all the way.
Oh, okay, sorry. All right, thanks, Drew. Let's go to Toso in Rhode Island. Hey, Toso.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Hello.
Hello.
You know the game's not till Monday. Sunday. You can't start partying yet.
Sorry. Actually, I'm playing my boy in Madden, and right now I just scored a touchdown with the Patriots, and he's the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. So.
Oh. Nice.
Who's winning? 7-0.
Yeah, 7-3. Meet the Patriots in the
fourth quarter over.
With 1:49.
Oh, it's over. That's a good start.
Do you need to want me to go to the next caller? Because you seem a little involved.
No. I actually had a question. It's kind of off topic, but it's a question I was pondering. All right, so it's a two-part question. First of all, who would you consider to be the top four quarterbacks to ever play the game?
Top four quarterbacks to ever play the game of football.
Yeah. Brady, Montana, Elway, Marino.
Marino, really?
I don't know.
Elway would be my one.
Elway would be my one as well.
Oh, I didn't rank him.
Elway. Yeah.
Sammy Baugh might be in the conversation.
Elway, Brady, Montana.
Is he the one that never lost, or is that Otto Graham?
Otto Graham.
He, like, never lost.
Yeah.
And he wore double zero.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure. Why are you asking the question?
Because, all right, Terry Bradshaw won four Super Bowls, two back-to-back. And his first two Super Bowls, he scored nine passing touchdowns. I don't understand why people don't add him in there. Because Super Bowls matter, like.
That's yeah, they
the
do.
This is why Tom Brady is like
yeah.
greatest.
Yeah, a lot of people.
They do, but I think a lot of people think that defense was what.
Yeah, a lot of people look at that team as being just so incredibly talented that I don't think Bradshaw gets his due. Different game, totally different kind of game back then. They, you know, especially the Steelers, all they did was run the ball, play defense, and throw bombs. So it didn't lend itself to great numbers. And I think Bradshaw was like something around a 50% passer, something in that neighborhood. And early in his career, he actually didn't always have the job. He had a hard time getting the job and keeping it for good. Even in one of the years they won the Super Bowl, he didn't start all the games. You know, they had used, I think, Joe Gilliam.
Yeah, he came on in relief.
And he came on and took his place. I mean, this is down the stretch of that season before they had won the Super Bowl. And I think it was 74. I read a story about this in Sports Illustrated recently. So I think that's why Bradshaw doesn't get the same kind of accolades that a lot of other guys. But if you want to judge it by, a lot of people say it's all about Super Bowls. And if you do, then he should be in the top five.
Exactly.
I don't look
He's
at him
not
that
in my
way.
Top five.
I don't look at him that way. But, no. you know, a lot of people think it's all about Super Bowls. And those people should have him higher.
All about Super Bowls. The Super Bowls are the big important factor.
Well, it's how you play in the biggest of games.
He's played great in Super Bowls. Yeah. I'll give him that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right, Toso. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Val in Bahrain. Hey, Val.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say, I think that a lot of attention is going to be paid on Gronkowski and Edelman, but I can see somebody like Umanawi and Brian Timms getting a lot of key yardage, particularly on third downs. And I think that Devin McCourty could be my pick for MVP, because I think I read somewhere he's one of our few guys who's had absolutely zero penalties against him. And he's been playing exceptionally well, so I think he will do well in the game.
He could do well.
McCourty would be another dark horse defensive candidate, and I agree that I think he played a really strong game against the Colts.
And
one of the better games I've seen him play.
You know, listen, the last couple games, we've seen more of emergence of Devlin, of Manawa Nui. You know, we've seen those guys starting to catch passes, and I think that bodes well because – you know, they're going to be focused on the best guys, and the guys, those types of guys, and I'll throw Tim Wright in there, are going to have to contribute.
Devlin, Super Bowl MVP.
You know, so
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think also, I mean, we've probably run out of trick plays we can play, so I think we're just going to turn to people they're not expecting to make big yardage. Before I go, I just want to say, March of last year, I had the opportunity to buy a ticket for the Super Bowl and book myself flights, everything. I tried to convince my wife. I said to her, I know for a fact the Patriots are going to be there. And she shot me down. She said, there's no chance. She didn't let me book the ticket. And now I'm incredibly mad.
I'd call a lawyer.
Yeah. Do you have a prenup?
Unfortunately not. Those guys don't stand in the Middle East anyway.
All right, well, it's on TV, so at least you'll be there in spirit.
You're gonna see. You gotta stay up late to watch it, though, huh?
Yeah.
I'll be up at 2 o'clock in the morning to catch the start of the game, and I'm gonna be in a room full of Lions and Giants fans. So,
wow.
I'm not sure how amenable that room's gonna be to me every time I cheer on our team.
How big is NFL football over there?
You know, we have a huge expat community here, and it really annoys me that we don't get as many games as we should on TV. We used to have ESPN America out here, but for some reason they stopped broadcasting in the Middle East, and that's just, for me, it's just such a shocker. But there's a huge following. We have the U.S. Army base here, so we have a huge American contingency, and I think that, we should have our own Patriots club out here. I've set something up on Facebook, I think
get it registered on patriots.com and we'll try to get the word out for you.
Sure, we'll do.
All right, thanks, Val.
Enjoy
thanks
the game.
Calling in.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Yep.
You know, he said he was going to be watching in a room full of Lions.
Lions and
I thought
and
he was going to say.
I was.
You thought
know,
you meant
first,
for real?
I was thinking it was like, legit.
I thought so, too. All right, everybody bow down. Chester in Portland is on the line. Hey, Chester.
Oh, man, what a lead-in. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. We're doing great. Things are smooth.
Nice. Man, I hope you guys are feeling better. You know, it's fantastic to hear all the listeners sounding off on how great you guys have been doing this season and this week. Just can't say enough about the coverage, man. You guys just got me so fired up with the contributions you made. I thank you so much for being in Arizona now. Enough is enough with talk about top four quarterbacks. You know, we got the offseason on the horizon here. It's time to talk about two quarterbacks. That's Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. And here's what I got to say. This Swiss Army knife of an offense, you know, we're talking about all these different weapons and Tim Wright and, you know, Devlin so-and-so. You know, to me, the guy that really is standing out as being a real big sleeper in this offense this week is Shane Vereen, man. Nobody's talking about Shane Vereen. I know we've all been let down over the course of time with what could have been and whatnot, but this guy can get in space. This Seattle defense has struggled against third down backs. You know, I think of Oliver and San Diego shredded them up pretty damn good. You know, it's going to be a lot of focus on Blunt. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing a little two-back set sometimes so that Vereen could be an option out of the backfield potentially in the past. You know, there's going to be a lot, again, a lot of keying on LeGarrette Blunt. I think Vereen's going to be a great play for us, especially in that first quarter, to mix things up, to get some speed. And that being said, it's time to get fast and furious. I need a good start. I need this team to get out and fight and take all this energy that they've gotten and all this anxiety from the NFL and this whole Deflategate, and it's time to take all that onto the field, piss off, kick ass. I want Seattle to be out physical this week. It's a tall order, but I know this gritty team's got it in them, baby. Time for Cats Nation to get loud. It's Thursday. Super Bowl weekend is upon us. Make some damn noise out there, Nation. Join me in taking over this country and showing them who we are as a fan base. Anybody who's in Arizona, get on Patriots tailgate. There's going to be a big-ass pep rally. I will be there in spirit, but it's time to make some noise. Let's get them. Let's go and get a Super Bowl, baby. Over and out. Thanks for everything, boys.
All right. Thanks, Chester. And buy apparel. good, Chester. I love it. He's great. He was, you know, in San Diego when we had the party, he was just the best. He was just so psyched to have everybody in one room. And, you know, you got to love it.
The first time I saw him, it was funny, in 2012 when we were in Seattle, actually. Bilo and Michael from PR, we were having breakfast at just a tiny little hole-in-the-wall coffee shop in Seattle. And we happened to be seated near the front window, just sitting there kind of like at a table like this. All of a sudden, this guy and woman walk by, and the guy stops, and he starts looking into the window, and we're like, oh, my God, who is this? And it was Chester,
right?
Because he was going to the game that day, and he just happened to be. He's like banging on the window, like waving.
Yeah, he's great.
Like that guy from the Discount Double
Check. Right, yes.
Just, I wasn't aware of this, but right now, Troy Vincent, Dean Blandino, and Bill Vinovich are addressing the media, holding a press conference for officiating in the game ops and how it's going to go. So, might be some interesting stuff coming out of that a little bit.
Yeah,
later.
We'll have to keep our eye on that. Jeff's in Las Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Are you in Las Vegas or are you in Phoenix?
I'm still in Vegas. First off, an honor and privilege to follow Chester, rallying the troops. I will be there. I'll be leaving Friday after work. I hope to be there sooner, but I got tied up for a little bit of stuff. And also...
That guy you owe money to?
No, we're actually swimming in money.
Okay.
We're going to double down on. Also, big shout-out to the PFW Elite. It's going to be just like at San Diego, but they're bringing that energy and fire to Glendale this weekend.
I love it.
They better, because I think they're going to be outnumbered, so... Yeah. You're going to have to try to overpower them. I've seen a lot of estimates, yeah. 10 to 1 at this point, 15 to
Get
1.
Get out.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
And I'm a little bit concerned. The problem is I was there in 2007. You can buy, like, buying tickets is legal. They have a legal scalping area, but you can't tell if they're real. The fakes are so good nowadays, the police won't even verify that they're real. They used to scan them. Now they won't because of liability reasons.
Oh, boy. So be careful out there, folks.
And we have already had some issues with that kind of thing.
Yeah, but the AFC Championship, right.
Yeah, and what I learned in 2007 is the build-up for the Super Bowl is great, but you got to win the game. So I'm concentrating on...
Nothing gets by you.
Yes, right on, exactly.
Captain Obvious!
I see what you did there. Now, guys, if we'd be willing to win, would you guys be willing to get me into the team post-game party so I can get my picture with Gronk?
Fred, you want to handle that one?
I have other requests I have to fulfill before you, Jeff, I'm afraid to tell you.
Well, Kevin, I'll be instant messaging Kevin on Twitter, Jeff Vegas 12, by the way. I'll be live tweeting from the game, from outside, from inside. I'm going to watch.
I'll be live tweeting from outside the game.
I'll be walking backwards. If I can't get a ticket, I'm going to be walking backwards at the end if New England is ahead. That's how you can get into a Super Bowl, but don't tell anyone that. I don't want Florio printing that. That's all we need is more controversy.
Right.
Let's go to the numbers, guys. As far as the numbers go, New England's getting completely disrespected right now. In some places, it's dropped not only to New England minus a half, but now it's back to a pick 'em again after it's New England minus one all week.
I thought you had a minus two yesterday.
I didn't have anything.
Yeah, I heard that New England was minus two for a while.
Yeah, Patriots were by two. What is it now? Pick 'em? Now it's back to a pick 'em, according to Jeff.
It's like minus a half. It's still minus one. Some places minus one half and a pick in some places. So
it's amazing how a couple fire alarm, you know, stories can change a line.
No, Brady's got the sniffles.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing how everybody, quote-unquote, thinks that Seattle's going to win, but yet the Patriots are favored.
Right.
Who says everybody thinks Seattle's going to win?
Well, it was the guy on the phone.
Oh, 53-47.
Earlier in the show.
Look at all the Seattle money flowing in, and that, I think, is going to bring us to the Jeff in Vegas Super Bowl play of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, heavens to Betsy.
Yeah, we're on location, Jeff. We're on location. Go.
I know it's Kevin and Zach, and then who is the dude who's in Foxborough again? What's his name?
I think Zach is in Foxborough.
Zach. No, I think Zach is actually with Kevin. Whatever. Jeff and
Zach. Zach's not here.
Hey.
He must be in Foxborough. Guys. Brady and Belichick are not going to go down having lost three consecutive Super Bowls. Not only are we backing up the truck, betting the college fund, the mortgage payment, the life savings. Let all of 2 weeks ago's winnings ride on New England. Give the point. Take the pass. Take the under 48. Lock it in. I'll see you guys with Gronk Sunday night at the party.
All right, Jeff.
So the Patriots and the under.
It would be great
if
we could get all the PFW, you know, if we win, all the PFW listeners at that party. That would be some party.
Could be dangerous.
Yeah. How about Jerry in Miami? Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
I try to do my best impression of Jeff.
Yeah. Just so you know, sometimes your best isn't good enough.
I know. listen, I'm a first-time caller from Miami. As you know, we're in the division, so I get a beating here every day. Fred, as you mentioned, those two Super Bowls is just weighing in on us. We're just scared to lose another one. I know, Andy, you said that Vereen might not be back. What do you think about bringing Danny Woodhead back? I don't know his contract situation or anything like that.
He is under contract. Yeah. He signed an extension this year,
San Diego.
He's also coming off an injury, so that would probably not be an option. I mean, the most obvious option is James White, the guy you drafted in the fourth round, who basically redshirted this year. But there's always, I mean, look where you got Woodhead from.
Right.
Scrap heap, nobody, waiver wire. So, yeah, I won't be surprised if they don't re-sign Vereen, and I won't be surprised if they bring somebody in from Lord only knows where.
Yeah, but they've moved on from Woodhead.
All right. Andy, I know you requested that name, so I'm going to give it to you. Andy Baby Love is your name today.
Thanks, Jerry.
Nice talking to you. Talk to you after the Super Bowl.
Okay, all thanks.
Right. This is Andy Baby Love coming strong from Phoenix.
Oh, what did I do?
God only knows.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you're making noises.
No, not me. I didn't. I lost the call screener for a second. All right.
this is such a debacle.
Let's see. I had a good email queued up, and now I lost it. I'm just a mess.
I'm just a mess.
Sam says, just a massive thank you for keeping us Patriots fans up to date with fun, laughter, and random debates. Looking forward to the game on Sunday. Beer and chicken wings ordered. Cannot wait. Gronk jersey ready and waiting. Gronk will bring Richard Sherman back to earth with a bang. Patriots win by 10, says Sam.
Hmm.
Travis from Collierville. Eric is correct. He picked the Patriots over the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Fred picked the Patriots over the Packers. Paul, Seahawks over Broncos. And Andy, Packers over Patriots.
So Fred, Paul, who everybody said is always right, is the only guy who didn't have the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Happy to hear this is Blendy.
Thank you, Travis, by the way, for looking up the info.
Blendy?
Blendy from Long Island. Happy to hear you're live for a half an hour today, and I thought about dropping a couple of lines. I think that Fred is the only reason that the Patriots have made it to the Super Bowl. Well, maybe he had a little help from TB12, Revis, Gronk, Minitron, and Belichick. His magical touch on game day is clearly why we came back against the Ravens on the divisional round and proving that the butterfly effect is alive and well. You might ask, how is that possible? The answer is quite simple. Fred kept directing Ethernet shouts of defense, and everyone responded on the chat, and that reverberated on the real field of play. That was true. We did do that, and exactly when we did it, they came up. I cannot wait to read his live comments during Sunday's game. I felt a little queasy before the Ravens game, and that was smack on right. The Patriots barely made it. No such feelings against the Colts, and no such queasiness before playing the other team this Sunday. My prediction, Patriots 31, other team, Ospreys or whatever type of seagull they are, 19.
Ospreys.
Thanks for your continued ability to make me laugh and wishes of continued success. Eight-year listener.
As I expected, nice. The information's starting to trickle in from that press conference we mentioned earlier. Mm. Dean Blandino says Pete Carroll misinterpreted the talk about the signal for ineligible receiver. It's not new. They did it in the AFC Championship game, writes Mike Garofalo. So they're not changing anything that they've done of late, but they may have altered it for the AFC title.
So, I don't remember them doing it.
I don't remember them doing that in the AFC Championship game, though.
Right.
On ineligible receivers, Vinovich said, I made announcement, do not cover 34, and Blandino said, which we won't do in the Super Bowl. Vinovich said, we won't?
Really?
They can't even get on the same damn page. They're an embarrassment.
Wow.
I'm just really glad that the replacements aren't handling
what?
It.
What?
And then we'd really be screwed.
And everybody's tweeting Bart Hubbick. Whoa, Blandino and referee Vinovich just disagreed. Awkward.
Wow.
Like, they're having
how
this
much confidence do you have now going into the Super Bowl?
You shouldn't fight in front of the children.
God, seriously.
I mean, it's like, you know, like, you don't see it in football, but you see it in hockey. Like, the team is just not doing right. And, you know, hockey have very few timeouts, but a coach will just call a timeout just to stop the flow of the game and get his guys, his guys' heads screwed on right. Goodell needs to call a timeout and get these guys in a room and say, guys, you know, let's get on the same page here, for crying out. Starting with you, Blandino.
I think he's so
over. You are off TV, okay? No more TV for you. Because every time you go on, it just makes matters worse.
I'm 100% with you. I don't think
get
he adds
TV.
Anything but confusion with his weekly.
Will you stop it, Andy? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. It really is at this point.
I think the listeners can actually smell it.
No, they can't.
Yes, sir, they can hear it.
No, they can't.
Rick in Louisville, what will PFW's schedule be on Sunday? I would rather listen to your pregame than that blowhard Bob Costas. No pregame social on Sunday, no postgame. There's just
the logistics is
just
too much.
It's just too much. We're out of our comfort zone. We just can't get it done technically. But Paul and Andy will be on the 98.5 pregame show.
We're going to try.
Some point.
We're efforting that.
Yep. And after the game, we'll have the press conferences, we'll have the analysis on Patriots.com. We just won't have the Xbox One, but we'll be back next week.
Tuesday, baby.
Tuesday.
Hopefully it'll be set. Although, when's the parade? It's a parade Tuesday or Wednesday?
Hey,
in case you want to know.
Hey, stop.
Goes down Boylston.
It would be Tuesday, I believe.
Takes a left.
Yeah, I guess they could push it to Wednesday. I don't know.
Well, there's also the potential that there's a huge storm and we might not get back on Monday.
Maybe they can put the duck boats in the river and do it down the river.
You bite your tongue.
I'm just reporting what the Weather Channel's telling me, my friend.
I got a beanpot game to watch.
I just almost swore. I just almost called him an effing loser.
Wow.
I thought he just wanted to be home because we've been in Arizona.
Exactly. That's what I want to be home for. I'm not going to the beanpot.
And it's not available on your little thing like you were watching last night staring at your phone.
Probably not.
Phil in Sussex, England. I know a lot of Patriots fans aren't worried about the Seahawks D, but to me they are the best D that I've seen in my 7 years of watching the NFL. They have no obvious weakness and have proven to be effective against all different types of offenses. Big part of the Patriots offense is the run after the catch, while the Hawks have such speed that they do such a good job of limiting that. That's why I think the run offense is so important in A, they need to get some yards on the ground, and B, it'll open up the play action passes, which is our one way of getting big plays. When I think it'll be a great game that's close, while I think it'll be a great game that's close till late in the game, I have to give the edge to the Hawks. I could see them replicating what the Chiefs did to the Patriots, obviously not to that extent, with an aggressive swarming defense and heavy dose of run on offense. My pick, Seahawks 20, Patriots 16.
Ooh.
Hope I'm wrong, and the Patriots deliver their best victory since Super Bowl 2001. Would this be the best Super Bowl win?
Yes.
Of the four, if they won it?
Funny, we were actually talking about that in the media workroom with Chris Price and some other people.
I think it is the best team that they've played in the Super Bowl.
You might even argue it's the best team
definitely.
Overall.
Yeah.
Because the Rams kind of petered out.
Right.
But you got to beat them first.
But would this be the best win of the four?
I think that's one of those things.
I think it's sort of I would say that this would be the best win against the best team of the four.
It would be,
but is it a best win if Russell Wilson throws four picks, if they just implode?
Yes, because you made them implode.
I have a hard time, though.
Well, Green Bay certainly didn't make them throw four picks last week. It just kind of happened.
I have a hard time not saying that the first win.
Right?
So, he's not that good now? Now they're not a good team?
Certainly,
you're diminishing the
Seahawks. He certainly wasn't good last week.
Well, Brady's had bad games.
I know, but just saying.
To me, the first win is always going to be the most special. I mean,
well, special, sure.
07 might have changed my mind a little bit if they had been able to accomplish it, but I still think everything that went on that year in 01 and the fact that it was the Patriots winning it, everything. It was to me
I'm not talking about like the whole season and everything.
Well, what do you mean?
Just the game, like the game most itself. Impressive win.
This is the best team.
It would be the best team they face.
I think this is the best team they face.
But that doesn't mean it's the best win.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
By the way, when Brady has those bad games that you speak of.
He's dwelling on it.
I have a question. When Brady has these bad games that you're talking about, is it because of the other team?
Sometimes, yeah. You don't think the Giants game in 07 was because of the Giants?
I don't think that was one of
first
the games
look at
that
the field.
I don't think Brady had any turnovers in that game. I wouldn't look at that as a terrible Brady game.
That doesn't mean he didn't have a good game, Paul. I mean,
I think
he was under duress the whole time.
And, yeah, but I think he did fine under the circumstances. I'm talking about a meltdown where you throw a lot of picks. Like Russell Wilson last week threw four picks.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with Green Bay. I think it had everything to do with his receivers and him.
Oh, right.
Balls going off his receivers' hands and getting intercepted.
Well, I thought Seattle's a good team.
They are a good team. They won the game despite committing five turnovers. I think that kind of shows that you're a pretty good team.
And I think at the end, he's shown through and, drove his team down and won the game.
So now he played well.
He ended up playing well.
No, he didn't. He played a terrible game.
When this team needed him most, he stepped up. Right? Right?
Yeah.
What do you mean, eh? You can't? All right, so the Patriots should just roll this game, right?
Why do you say that? What does last week have to do with this week?
That's what I just said. I said you're indicting him as he's not that good.
I never said anything about it. I said it doesn't. You made a comment like Andy said. Well, it might not be the best game when we were talking about this game. And he said, "What if Russell Wilson just has a terrible game and throws four picks?" And you said, "Well, that would be because the Patriots made him do that." And I said, "Well, he did it last week, and it wasn't because Green Bay made him.
Well,
he had a terrible game."
So if you're saying it, that's who he is, that he would
that's
just
not what I'm saying, Fred. I'm saying, what if Andy's scenario plays out?
Well,
it was a hypothetical that Andy brought up that I think is interesting.
I know, but why do you have to be so argumentative?
I'm not being argumentative about it.
You are. I mean, you in one breath you say
but
Seattle's
I said,
the best team that they've played in a Super Bowl.
And I agree with that. I believe that.
Well,
I think this would be the best win that
they have. What if Brady throws five picks? Are the Patriots not that good? They weren't a good opponent?
What is he talking about?
I don't really know.
We're asking... Andy brought up a hypothetical on the original
whatever
question
happens
that you asked.
But whatever happens in the game is irrelevant to who the team
was
all season.
Okay, well, I agree with Andy. I think it is relevant.
The Seahawks were the best team in the NFC all season. Yes or no? They were the best team to come out of that.
Oh, now they are. They weren't all season.
We all agree they were the best team.
I think
and
that, yes.
Russell Wilson could have a terrible game. That doesn't mean
that
they
really
weren't the best
team. I don't really understand what
team.
That is. I don't. that has to do with what Andy said. That's
but
all.
Using your logic, every team you play in the Super Bowl is the best team out of that conference.
Not always, and you know that's true.
Right, but I don't.
But in this case, we all agree it is true.
I think. Right. I don't know why you think that we're nitpicking Seattle.
You are nitpicking.
We both think Seattle is.
You're
great,
nitpicking.
But we both think Seattle's a
you're
great
nitpicking.
Team. You can keep saying that over and over again. We both think Seattle's a great team.
This would be the
well,
most.
No one's nitpicking Seattle.
Yes
we
or
think
no?
They're great.
Yes or no? Regardless of the outcome of the game, this would be the most impressive team they would have beaten in a Super Bowl.
In my opinion, yes.
Yes. Okay, then why do you have to nitpick? That's all I said.
If they play like crap, it's not the most impressive.
There's no but.
Because he brought up a different scenario. So we can only address your hypotheticals. Andy's hypotheticals, I'm not allowed to comment.
If they implode, it's not an impressive
But they were
win.
Still the Seattle seat. I didn't say win. I said team that they have beaten in a Super Bowl.
And then you said the most impressive win. Nobody argued when you said it's the best team. We all said yes. But we said that doesn't mean it's the most impressive win. And you got pissy.
Well,
I mean, I think you could make an argument.
I think when you beat the most impressive team you've ever played in a Super Bowl, it's the most impressive win.
Well, I don't. We can disagree.
And if
then.
And if they, you know, blank the
it
bed,
depends on the game.
I will give the Patriots a little bit of credit for them having.
Done I won't. I'll watch the game and see how it unfolds. Yeah. If they muff a punt that bounces off
okay.
his face and things
but
like that.
But is that what this comes down to? You think
then
that somehow Andy's taking credit away from the Patriots? Is that what this all comes down to?
No, I think it comes down to just being, you know, nitpicky.
No, it comes down to watching the game and not making yeah. these grand announcements.
But we can say
game.
Going in without having watched the game that this is
the best, team they've played.
That's all I'm saying.
No, that's not all you said. Beating, you took the next step and said this will be the best
win
they've
had. And
by
beating the best team they've ever played, I think that's pretty impressive.
Okay, you've changed it now. You're doing what Paul always accuses you of.
This is what he does.
Be their best win. That's not necessarily true.
It won't be the best game, you're right. But game, that's different. But in terms of the opponent that they face going into this game, it's the most impressive opponent.
Yes.
And thereby,
said yes.
And thereby, if they win, they'll have just beaten the most impressive
be.
Opponent.
Yes, that is
and
fact.
That's makes it the most impressive win.
Okay, I stopped agreeing.
Now, in terms of the quality of the game.
I don't
game,
know why you got a nitpick.
Quality of the game, you know, and you can nitpick and all that. I agree with you there. If Seattle,
if
Seattle fumbles 10 times, okay.
Right, what, that's not nitpicking. You know, that's watching the game.
But that's not what I'm talking about, for Christ's sake.
But it is. You said it would be.
God.
I'm with your original point. I think it's the best team they've played in the Super Bowl. I think
right.
a lot of people thought the Rams were, but you know, in hindsight, the Rams, that was it for them.
Right.
The next year they went to the playoffs, they got knocked out one and done, and that era ended. It ended shortly thereafter. So that's the best win out of the three Super Bowl wins that they've had. I think the Rams were much better than Philadelphia in Carolina. But I think this team is much better than that team. I think this is the toughest team they've played in the Super Bowl.
I agree.
But what was the best win?
I don't know, because I have to see the
game
first.
I think you can argue Carolina was the best win. They weren't the best team. They were the best
win. Well, I could make the argument the Patriots made it a tougher game than it should have been then.
Okay. But you still
so
won.
So then was it impressive?
Yes, because you overcame.
When you make a game harder than it's supposed to be, that's not impressive,
all the,
Andy.
All the stuff they came,
no, see, you,
all the stuff they overcame.
You know
in that
you're
game,
wrong.
I think
no,
you
I absolutely know you're,
wrong.
You're dead.
You overcame your own deficiency.
I absolutely know
you overcame your own deficiency.
What was their deficiency?
That's impressive.
He's saying they
what
weren't
was
that good a team. He said the Patriots made it harder than it should have been.
But
they
because
mistakes.
They had a bunch of guys get hurt. That's yeah. why it was
they
hard.
They made mistakes.
They got decimated in that game.
And I think the Panthers played a very good football game.
Their starting safeties got hurt. We're out of the game.
You're dead wrong, and I'm not going to take that smug look and just bow down.
Well, I'm sorry, but
you're wrong.
If
the Seattle Seahawks crap the bed and play terrible, it will not be the best win.
And the Patriots will have nothing to do with it.
I don't know. See, I watch games before I assess
them. You know, you could say all
you
these
just
things.
Said you'd eliminate Josh Cribbs bouncing the ball off your head. But that just happened. We just saw that happen.
I know.
The Patriots did
and we also know that the Seahawks are the best team they played.
Right.
Going in, so
you can keep yelling facts, and I can yell facts
right.
too.
And I will continue yelling facts.
And they have
because
nothing
facts.
To do with the argument you're trying to make.
I think
and
you
that's
could,
just idiotic. It's politician-like.
I think you could make an argument that Denver.
And they get a bridge in Alaska.
Yeah.
I think you could make an argument that Denver was the best team Seattle played last year. And that certainly wasn't the best game, Seattle. I mean, it just
certainly wasn't the best.
Wasn't the best win because the other team just rolled over for them. Now, you could say San Francisco was better than Denver. Semantics. I think that you could make an argument that Denver was the most talented team that Seattle played last year, and it didn't play out that way.
I mean, that's
it
true.
Just didn't.
Right. Denver didn't show up for that game.
But I think you're missing the point.
No, we're not.
I mean, Denver, are you saying that Denver is as impressive a team as Seattle is this year, as they were last year? Was Denver going into that game like the way people think of Seattle?
They were one of the highest scoring offenses.
Different kind of team, but very comparable.
Yeah. Different kind of team, but comparable in terms
of
their
defensive. And then Seattle absolutely decimated them. And then basically the same team is now in the Super Bowl again. To me, that makes them a formidable opponent.
We agree.
No one has argued that.
The most impressive.
What is he talking about?
The most impressive team the Patriots have ever played in the Super Bowl.
Agree.
In terms, you know,
which no one has argued in 20 minutes.
And the only thing I would say is, you know, the Bears were more impressive, but they didn't win that game. So if they win this game, it'll be the most impressive
Bears.
Win.
I'm done.
No,
I'm not going to be like Paul and just keep going through it over again.
You know,
the quality of the game determines how good a win it is, but the opponent is undeniable.
I think this is the most talented opponent.
No, it's Eric's turn to fight the battle.
Yeah, it's the most talented.
Yes.
Complete team they've played.
Yes, but the
and thereby, to me.
No, stop the thereby. No,
and thereby, to me, if they beat this team, it'll be their most impressive win.
I can't say that. So.
You know?
I can't say that. What if Tavares Jackson is the quarterback on the second snap?
Okay. So
we have to watch the
you
game.
You have to let it play out.
If the key players that made them a great team are not on the field, I'll give you that.
Or they make mistakes.
I'll give you that.
Or they make flat-out mistakes.
Russell Wilson gets
not
hurt.
Not forced
or, you know,
mistakes, but unforced errors, a term from your tennis game.
Well, yeah.
If they make a lot of unforced errors.
What if Russell Wilson is throwing passes like in
if,
that two-point conversion?
If the anomalies don't happen. But it happened last week. That happened 1 week. If everything being equal, if the teams play the way they've played for the majority of the season, would you give it to me then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. If they both play a good football game, but you're making a leap of
okay.
Of
well, that's kind of how you go into a game. You don't really say, you know, when you're judging who's going to win. I think this team's going to fumble five times. You kind of look at it how they've played.
I do that all the time
for the majority of the season and kind of judge it that way. You don't count on the weirdest.
One of the reasons why I thought the Patriots were going to blow the Colts out last week
would be a likely to be occurring event. Because it happened last week. That's
it happened
the NFL does
1 week to the Seahawks. Yes, it did. It's not something they usually do, right?
Correct, but it happened a week ago.
Right, it did. So what are the chances out of 19 games, it only happened once, it's going to happen again? What are the chances? 19 games have gone, it happened once.
I don't know.
But what are the chances?
Do I expect it? Answer the question. Do I expect it? No.
Okay.
But if it happens,
if it
will affect the way I analyze
the game.
What
we expect to happen happens. Will this be an impressive win for the Patriots?
Yes.
Their most impressive win?
Yes.
Thank you!
So we just assume what we expect is going to happen.
Thank you.
We're back where
That's
we started the argument.
You're assuming a certain game is unfolding.
Let me ask Fred a question. If they go into this game and Seattle plays the worst game they've ever played, will this be the most impressive win?
No.
Thank you!
He's beating you at your own game!
Wow.
Yes, Eric, high five!
What are the chances?
If I had asked that question, he would have changed the answer.
What are the chances of that happening?
I don't know. They just dropped right before our eyes.
They probably won't play the worst game ever. Probably won't. But I don't know.
Probably won't.
But I don't know until I see it happen.
Right. So chances are I'm going to have more of a chance, if the Patriots win, that I'm going to have more of a chance of being right than you. Right?
Probably
80% more of a chance.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But
thank you. Thank you.
You haven't proven anything because the game hasn't happened.
Eric,
no one takes credit for victory in arguments.
Eric,
more than Fred.
You know, when you really think of it, can we really even prove we exist?
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
You know, isn't it all a matter?
Should he go out on the interpretive trail?
Fred, you know why I'm here.
You too. You know when it's over, when that happens,
when he jumps
theater
the
of the absurd.
He enters Andy Land.
Yeah, I'm only here so I don't get fined.
Chris in Daytona Beach, love the Kevin play-by-play open. It really reinforced the vision I got in my head of your travel broadcast setup that I got yesterday when I learned Kevin could smell Andy's gas, that the four of you are all sitting around a mixer in a two-bedroom at the hotel holding SM58s and XLR cable everywhere.
What's an SM58?
It must be some technical term. Anyway, I picked Seahawks to win over the Patriots at the beginning of the year, and I'm afraid it'll all come true.
Oh.
In 2011, I kind of felt happy to be here about the Super Bowl, what with losing Gronk, but was so sure they could beat the Giants that I wasn't emotionally prepared for a loss. This year, I just look at the Seattle D as too allergic to touchdowns for us to win without some kind of crazy turnover or special teams madness. My two cents, Seahawks 23, Patriots 16.
Well, also, I think most people were not giving the Packers any credit for going to Seattle and being able to win the game in the NFC Championship. Most people thought it was going to be easily Seahawks.
Yep, I did.
Us included.
I did.
Us included.
Yeah, I'm guilty.
Wounded Aaron Rodgers.
And I'm guilty of that. I thought they were going to blow them out.
And the Packers came a whisker away from actually winning that game.
Should have won the game?
Should have won the game.
Yep.
So, I don't think that the Seahawks are this invincible opponent that some people this week are saying they're afraid of.
Right. No, they're certainly not invincible. That's crazy.
I found something dumber than the argument we just had. According to Dean Blandino,
the one those guys had,
the 12.5 to 13.5 PSI.
Yeah.
You know how long that's been in the NFL rulebook?
I don't know.
1930.
Really?
Wow.
You think the ball has changed
since
1930? I was
just going to say.
That used to look like a big rugby ball.
Yeah, rugby ball, exactly.
I mean,
that's unbelievable.
And they haven't addressed that rule, looked at it, tweaked it, the passing game, the gloves, the quarter. I continue to say this league succeeds in spite of itself.
But it's amazing. But, God. You know, the thing that's amazing is the things that they spend so much time on.
Yeah.
Right.
Is amazing compared to, like, you know, the common sense things. You would think that they're.
If you celebrate a touchdown and touch something, you're
every 10 years. Every 10 years, let's look at the rule book and see what we need to do here. You know? And I know they have the competition committee meeting every year, but little things like this seem to go right under the radar.
Well, because they're so focused on the bigger things. Yeah. They don't care. They don't take the time to address minute things that actually have a lasting or far-reaching impact. I mean, because the league meetings where they do most of these things, they're kind of like a day and a half, basically, and they're all ready to get out there and hit the golf course and do other things. Take care of the business you're there for first.
Troy Vincent said, quote, said the NFL rulebook will talk about, quote, reducing the rulebook in the off season because the rulebook has gotten so big that it's, quote, made it difficult for the officials.
That's what we've been saying for, like, years.
Well, somebody said it's more complex than the U.S. tax code. You know?
I said that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good, Eric. Good.
So it's not relevant.
It really turns the 180 on me all the time.
Really?
Seriously, though, that was your best ever. You kicked Fred's ass.
He never let you get comfortable.
A full-fledged member of the show.
Oh, shut up. Like I need his approval.
Right before their eyes, they dropped.
I'm back with you, Fred.
Mike in Los Angeles, he's never really complimenting anyone.
No.
Mike in Los Angeles, in the running game, we've seen total domination of the Colts and complete failure versus the Ravens. How do we run on Seattle? What kind of plays do you think we're going to have success running the ball with? Is it as simple as the O-line playing well and creating big holes, or are there some different types of plays that can create some space to run in? If you could plan the first offensive series for the Pats, what are your first plays of the game? I love this team. It's been a great year. Thanks for all the work. Not sure how it's going to happen, but I want to see our team play its best, most complete game. Patriots win 30-21.
I'd motion Gronk. He would do that little shuffle step. Boom, I'm running right behind him.
So
I would do a quick out to Edelman for 8.
When you know, obviously Seattle is good against the run. Is
yards.
It because of the linebacker support? And if you keep them occupied, maybe you can have some success? Or is their front line really stout?
I don't know that it's stout. It's good. You know, they have the big guy in Williams, and then they have some speed and athleticism. But I think you have to try to run at him. I think you can gash him a little bit. Quick hitters.
Paul, first play of the game, Michael Bennett jumps off sides, 5-yard penalty.
No, that's the first third down of the game. The first third down of the game will be an offside on Michael Bennett.
Gronk in motion.
I can't tell you if it
Gray.
Was third and less than 5 or not.
Okay.
I can't see that well.
Pat Nagawam, I'm going to make it short and sweet. Belichick, despite his flaws, is usually good at having the players apply his game plan.
Happily.
I was going to say aptly apply, especially in big games. If the 2014 Patriots want to put their name on the Lombardi Trophy, they have to start Marshawn Lynch. They know it. We know it. Belichick knows it. And for good measure, we do it. I'm with Andy. Gronk dominates this game blocking, catching, and runs after catch and yards after catch or both. He gets the MVP with somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 catches and 150 yards and 3 TDs. Let's go!
Ooh, 3.
Too two. Much?
2.
Yeah.
And I think 2 would be enough to get the MVP.
What's the record for tight end touchdowns in a Super Bowl?
I don't know. I'm sure it was Dan Ross.
He had 2 in a game. Super Bowl 16.
By the way, lots of people showing up here now. It's getting crazy here at the team hotel.
Yeah.
Flights are coming in.
Passing hors d'oeuvres.
Junkets are emptying out here.
Is that Larry Eisenhower?
It is. Larry Eisenhower's outside drinking beer.
Hello, Larry!
Let's see. Fernando writes in, first off, I want to say that I'm really a big fan of your show. Keep it up. I've heard multiple times that the Seahawks run the same type of defense. In other words, they don't change things up a bunch. I think this might be in the Patriots' favor. Think about the Jets and Ravens, who play very different type of defenses, matching up man-to-man. Those are the teams that really get to Tom Brady's head. Playing zone all the time against Tom will be the Seahawks' downfall. Prediction, Patriots win 31-20.
They don't play zone all the time.
Okay.
They don't. I think they play a lot of cover three, but there are times when the cornerbacks lock up. Man, now they do some different stuff in terms of coverage, but I think where the idea of them doing what they do is Sherman stays on the same side. He's strictly a left cornerback. He doesn't move to the other side of the field. So if you want to stay away from him, all you have to do is put whoever you don't really want to feature in the offense on his side, and Seattle, quote-unquote, wastes him.
Right.
And that's what some teams have done during the course of the year. I think Seattle's fine with that. If you don't want to use the side of the field, go right ahead and don't use it. But this isn't the Chicago Bears playing Tampa 2 and getting decimated, you know, with no talent. That's not what this is about. They can stop you even if you know what they're doing. They're talented enough to do that.
Jeff in Sheffield, in the past two Super Bowls and in other games, including the Baltimore playoff game, New England has a habit of coming out flat and in many cases looking like they don't even care that they're in the game. I've often felt that they're thinking too much.
Yep.
The Giants came to the game, lined up, and punched us in the mouth.
Yep.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I want to see a fired-up team on Sunday. If they come out fired up with the fire to punch Seattle right in the jaw, I have no doubt of their ability to win. If they come out flat, then I'm going to have to need the Pepto-Bismol at halftime.
Preach it, brother.
I think the way Tom Brady has looked in these first couple of playoff games, they're going to come out pretty aggressively.
I hope so.
Fired up.
Serena really hit the nail on the head. She's from Woodland Hills, California.
Let me guess,
the real concern is that fans are missing the real concern is that after this week, PFW will be down to two shows a week instead of three.
That's true.
That's the real concern.
Yeah. So start getting your lunch buying offers up.
Well, if we win some of these bets, there's people proposing.
Oh, I know, but
lunches,
still.
And, yeah.
Kevin, make sure you get that spreadsheet ready.
Effort that.
He won't.
Austin in Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock.
Just wanted to say thank you for all you do throughout the season. I felt like I was all alone as a Patriots fan in Texas until I found your podcast. Now I feel like I'm part of the family. I downloaded a Felger and Maz podcast on Monday, and I don't know how Beadle does it. I only lasted 5 minutes.
Yep,
Anyway, I can't wait to see the look in Goodell's face as he's handing the Lombardi to Bill, Tom, and Robert. If we keep Tom's clean, we win by double digits.
Tom's what?
Tom's
jersey. Nose.
Elbow.
Testicles.
Oh, see now.
Hey,
we all knew what you were thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chad says, this is the last chance for Chandler Jones, and then I'm done with him. If you're a defensive end, you're either strong and slow, like J.J. Watt, but still power through O-linemen, or you're small but fast, like Doomerville.
J.J. Watt's not slow.
And beat stronger O-linemen with speed. Chandler Jones isn't either of those. He's big but weak and seems to play patty cake a lot, and he doesn't seem fast enough to beat his man. Also, does anyone have the stats of the Patriots pass rush with and without Chandler Jones, as it seems worse with him back?
Well, when he was out, I mean, Akeem Ayers got a lot more run, and he made a few plays. So,
and they were being, it seemed, a little bit more aggressive and creative with some of the twists and the inside A-gap
and
blitzes and stunts. So that'd be one of those things I would have to go back and really sort of look at the games and not just, oh, they had eight QB hits in this game and only six in this game, so they're not as good. I don't think that's fair to him.
Danny from Spain writes in, yesterday I saw Paul a little bit frustrated with some callers and about how the game was analyzed, so I wanted to ask him something different than all the Lynch and Wilson talk. Paul, as we know, Sherman has been a pretty dominant corner over the last 2 years. His main role is to take care of one half of the field, leaving the other to Maxwell and allowing more help from the safeties. Taking that into account, how would you try to take advantage of that? Would you try to use cross routes to Sherman's side to flood his zone? On the other side, you might think it would be stupid to attack their strongest side, but sometimes focusing on their strength and work against it can be the solution. I want to make them feel uncomfortable and obligate them to make adjustments.
I would try to do a lot of the stuff that the Patriots do really well in terms of the crossing routes, the rubs, the picks, whatever you want to call them, and I would try to get knock Sherman off in those kinds of situations. I don't think you just want to line up and test him. And I just like I wouldn't do that to Revis. I wouldn't just say, here, let me take my chances and throw the ball at Revis 15 times and hope that I make more plays than he does, because you won't.
Julius in Orlando, longtime listener, first-time emailer, just wanted to say the Patriots are in good hands, literally. No Wes Welker equals hopefully no game-clinching drops. Patriots 37, Seahawks 17.
If you're Danny Amendola and you get the game plan and you realize, wait, they're just putting me out to the right a lot on Sherman, does that make you feel bad? Like, hey, I'm just that guy they're putting out there they feel like they can waste for the game. That would be a kind of a kick in the old cojones.
I don't know. I don't think they would do that.
I don't think they're only going to do it to one. Yeah, I don't think it'll be one guy.
Now, if you're Brian Timms and you do that, I'm on the field every play for the Super Bowl. What do I care?
And one of those might be just to
throw it up there. Maybe Sherman will fall asleep at some point and they'll let me go get it.
All that dude does is catch touchdowns.
Timms time, Paul said. Did he log out again?
You know what we forgot to do, Kevin?
Picks?
No. Well, we got to do picks.
Got to hurry.
Yeah. So I was going to log back into the internet, but don't need to.
Yeah, I don't have the information from last week anyway.
I think I went 2-0. No, I didn't.
Well I did.
I picked the Patriots.
Okay, I you went 2-0.
I picked the Seahawks.
I don't know about the Seahawks. The role.
Well, in terms of the spread, that's you what I mean. Probably went 1-1.
Right. It's too bad.
Right.
It's probably what we all did, right?
So we're all 2-0 and probably like 1-1 against the
spread. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. So what do we got this week, guys?
And what's the number we get that we're going
pick
with?
Pick 'em.
Let's do pick 'em. So it'll be straight up.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's favored by one, Kevin?
Who cares?
Patriots.
Patriots favored by one?
Pick 'em.
We'll call it a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Jeff in Vegas said it was a pick 'em. The disrespect.
Lock it in.
So
we'll start with Eric.
Who wants to go
first? We'll mix it up a little bit.
Well, seeing as I was the only one who correctly predicted the Patriots over the Seahawks in the preview issue of PFW,
it would be stupid to change it.
It would be stupid to change it at this point. And but no, I've had a good feeling. I've had a better feeling the longer we've been here about this game and this team and the way they've responded this year. And I said it to you, Fred, when we were coming back from Indianapolis in November, that there was something about that game that made me realize how special this team could be, and they have thus far fulfilled that potential, and I think it continues on Sunday. I think they get their fourth Lombardi trophy in what is going to be one of the most entertaining Super Bowls between two teams that are at their best. They're the best teams in their respective conferences, and I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring than some people might expect.
Yeah.
But Patriots are going to win 30-27.
Ooh, okay. Another 3-point.
Another
Super 3-point Bowl
Super Bowl victory.
Yeah. I like it. You ever notice that happens right at the end of every show where we hear Eric and like God voice?
Yeah, it is funny.
I think this is going to be a really good football game. I think it's going to be physical, fun plays, turnovers probably both ways, momentum, and I think it's going to end up being an epic type game between the two best teams in football. In the end, I think the Patriots are going to run the ball some, set up the passing game. I think they're going to just grind out a couple drives at some point to kind of swing it in their favor and then kind of just stay one step ahead. I think 27-20 is going to be the Patriots' victory, but there is a little piece of me, and you guys make fun of me when I say, oh, I need to see how they start the game or whatever, little piece of me that thinks the Patriots could blow doors and really run away with this game, get an early 17-0 lead and just control it from there. But I need to see how they open up.
Oh, man, I'd love you to be right. I just don't see how that can happen.
It's one turnover. It's one.
Yeah.
It's they take their drive down the field. It's, boom, a turnover. All of a sudden, it's two scores. And second week in a row, they're trying to dig out. But it's not field goals. It's touchdowns that the other team put on the board.
Right.
It's a long shot, but I just think with all the emotion of this game, and where I think they are going to be us against the world Patriots.
Yeah.
I really do. And I think there's a chance they could surprise the Seahawks, the team that's usually more they usually have that role, and then it's going to be like, whoa, they're the ones today.
What if Brady came out and did the Ray Lewis dance before?
I think his teammates who were fired up would be laughing and rolling on the ground and lose all their fire.
I think the Seahawks would, too. That might
take
some of the wind out of their sails.
Now, I've gone really back and forth in my head all week on this game. I'm with you, Fred. I think this is just going to be a really tight game. I don't see the blowout scenarios that Andy's talking about. I think it's going to come down to two guys for the Patriots, and this is why I think the Patriots are going to win. I think it's Brady, and I think it's Gronkowski. And I think they need both of those guys to play at an exceptionally high level. If they don't, they lose. But I think that those two guys, you know, Gronkowski gives the Patriots an advantage on offense that they haven't had in these Super Bowls. You know, certainly the last one he was on the field, but not anywhere near 100% with the ankle. He's healthy enough this time, and I think he is going to be the difference maker in the game. I think it's going to be close, though. I think it's going to be anybody's game in the fourth quarter, and the Patriots' defense is going to have to come up with a stop at the end to preserve a win. I'll say 26-23, Patriots.
Mm. Well, here's what I'm with Paul. I think this is going to be incredibly close, a nail-biter. Bring the defibrillator, because I'm going to be close to heaven's door by the end of this game. And I think that this is going to come down. We haven't mentioned his name. To the foot of Steven Gostkowski.
Oh, Jesus.
Something that he hasn't been able to do as a Patriot. Not that he hasn't had a chance. But this is going to be his first chance.
Very good.
It's going to be his first chance. Steven Gostkowski wins the game.
MVP?
2019 Patriots. Woo! 20-19.
That's a big boy kick.
I'm really going to have to
Does he win the MVP, though? I don't know. I'm just saying. All right, guys. Everybody in Patriots Nation, hang in there. We got it till Sunday. We're going to go on. We're going to come back with the Lombardi. We're going to be talking to you Tuesday as champions.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub pepper.